successful, making Washington the seventh state to legalize marriage for gay and lesbian couples. Openly gay Democratic State Representative Jamie Peterson addressed fellow lawmakers in the lead up to the vote.
It moves our state closer to the promise of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness for all people in Washington.
The same-sex marriage law will go into effect in June unless opponents stop its implementation by putting it on the November ballot. The UN's expected to take up an Arab League plan today calling for a joint monitoring mission in Syria. While the UN talks, Syria's president escalates his assault on the political opposition. Here's the sound of shelling in the city of Homs. Even the UN Secretary General calls the Security Council's failure to agree on a resolution condemning Syria disastrous. Abu Abdo is a Syrian activist in the city of Homs.
We believe that we're all going to die here. The city is isolated and it's being under shelling and bombing and everything. There's nothing to do.
Congressional Republicans are threatening action against a new Obama administration policy that would force Catholic hospitals and universities to provide birth control in employee health plans. Here's House Speaker John Boehner's take on all of it.
If the president does not reverse the department's attack on religious freedom, then the Congress, acting on behalf of the American people and the Constitution that we're sworn to uphold and defend, must.
For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
My daughter swims like she's part fish. But when she developed asthma, I worried she wouldn't be able to do the things she loves. There were lots of specialists, lots of advice. Without United Healthcare, I couldn't keep track of it all. United Healthcare has tools to help her pediatrician coordinate her care, so everyone works as a team.
We're more than 78,000 people looking out for 70 million Americans. That's health in numbers. United Healthcare.
Now we both breathe easier.
Newman, where's Shipley with my cost analysis?
She's homesick, Mr. Fernwell. I'll handle it.
Ooh.
Oh, no, were you sick too, sir?
Newman, last time you did the cost analysis, it wasn't pretty. Call Bob from Account Temps.
Oh, I never get to do any of the important stuff.
Okay, you can do payroll.
Yes! What's that?
On second thought, Bob from Account Temps could handle payroll, too.
Bob.
Call Account Temps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Account Temps, a Robert Half Company.
The largest health insurance company in the nation is joining a trend. United Health Group is changing how it pays medical providers for services. Wall Street Journal reports United Health now essentially will pay more to hospitals and doctors who provide more effective screenings and avoid hospital readmissions rather than just paying for more services. WellPoint and Aetna recently have announced they're making similar changes. More than a dozen U.S. states have passed laws forcing online retailers to charge sales taxes. And the movement keeps growing. The USA Today reports 10 more states are considering an online sales tax as more of them struggle to balance budgets and as traditional stores lobby hard, arguing internet merchants get an unfair competitive edge without the tax. Leaders in Greece are heading for Brussels today to European Union headquarters, and they're empty-handed, having failed to reach a package of austerity measures necessary to receive more bailout funding. But European stock indexes are higher. S&P futures, though, down 3. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
When you were a kid, you had all sorts of toys. Toy cars, boats, trucks, entire toy boxes full of fun. Of course, you never really outgrow your toys, do you? It's just that now, instead of a box full, you have a garage full. Cars, trucks, boats, motorcycles, ATVs, and more. As you get older, your love of toys just gets stronger. So protect those toys the best way possible by switching to Allstate. An Allstate agent can help do the switching, paperwork, bundle all your policies together, and even find you a bunch of discounts. So if you love your toys, make sure you protect your toys by making one call to an Allstate agent.
Protect all your toys with Allstate. Find an agent near you at Allstate.com today. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Property and Casualty Insurance Company and Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and their affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Dollar for dollar, nobody protects you like Allstate.
Business phone systems don't have to be expensive or hard to install and maintain.
Nuditel is an easy-to-use, next-generation VoIP phone system that enables seamless, high-definition voice and video communication.
It's time to fire the phone guy.
Because Nuditel can be deployed by your in-house or outsourced IT staff. Starting at just $1,399 with no per-user or per-feature fees, Nuditel by Barracuda Networks is powerful and affordable. Visit Nuditel.com for a free evaluation.
That's Nuditel.com.
Wearing glasses with Crizal lenses can make a big difference in your vision. Neither the sandstorms of the Mojave Desert, nor the dust and dirt of a Texas rodeo, nor the glare of the bright lights of Broadway can keep you from having the clearest vision possible. For no-glare lenses with great water, dirt, dust, scratch, and smudge resistance, choose Crizal. Live life in the clear. That's C-R-I-Z-A-L. Crizal. Ask for the mature eye care professional.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
They call us a mob.
To try to divide us.
They tell us prosperity should start at the top and to wait for it to trickle down.
More like piddle down.
They refuse to compromise for the good of the country.
When you're right, you don't have to compromise. Compromise is for people that are wrong.
Instead, caring more about the politics of politics.
I don't know why he believes that it's going to be any easier for Republicans than Democrats to make these tough decisions.
They think we have no choice but to sit back and take it.
Think again.
No more. This is First Shift with Tony Trubiano.
Hey, good morning. It is First Shift. Pleasure to be with you. Can you believe it? It is Thursday already. Thursday, the 9th day of February, 2012. I'm just astounded. In a few moments, I'm going to read a letter I received in the mail yesterday. A handwritten letter. How often do we get those anymore? A wonderful gentleman that listens to the show. His name is Pete, 88 years old. I'm going to share that with you. We have a lot to get to today. Some of it's going to be quite educational and in its own way very uplifting. Scott Paul, that's Scott Paul, Jeff, will be joining us from the Alliance for American Manufacturing and talk about the reality of job losses in China. David Wamsley, a local guy, will be with us to talk about the Michigan Health Exchange. Of course, Occupy Detroit occupies First Shift at 7:50. David Hecker, I've got my regular guest. David Hecker is the only guy that I have on, and this is the truth, where I start getting emails the day before asking me what David's going to talk about, which I think is kind of cool. And I get it from more than one person, and I don't even know if these people are teachers or whatever. I just think it's cool. So anyway, we'll have him on in the 8 o'clock hour. So there's certainly plenty to do, but let's go ahead and do what we do so well.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Our first word today, very, very simple. Democrat. 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 I'm proud to be a Democrat, and there's a reason why. I've said this on the show periodically, that Democrats are the big umbrella party. We are the people that take care of society. Democrats are the people that are willing to dream big and try to fulfill that dream. Democrats aren't afraid to take risks, and yes, we understand sometimes we fail, but we also understand we succeed far more than we fail. Democrats are responsible for the majority of what we enjoy in a modern-day society. Without Democrats, oh my gosh, the list of things we wouldn't have or we wouldn't enjoy at the level that we do would be much longer than the 3 hours I have this morning. Yes, to be a Democrat is to be all things good. I'm not suggesting that to be a Republican is all things bad, because we need balance. And certainly Republicanism provides balance, if only to remind us why we need to work as hard as we do. And there, from time to time, as we learned in 2010, and even when good people don't perform the way they need to, and what I mean by that is go to the ballot box, sometimes Republicans win. And we also see what happens when Republicans win. The very foundation of our society starts to crumble around us, and it's not just happening here in Michigan. It's happening everywhere Republicans rule. Ah, Democrat, to be a Democrat. 'Tis a good thing, and that is today's first word. Good morning, Mr. Radford. It is Thursday. I don't know about you, but I find that this week is flying by. Had a great meeting last night at UAW Local 174, the whatever it takes group. Some want to know when you're going to show up.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I can't believe I got mentioned.
You do often. In fact, I know Tom's listening right now. Now, Tom didn't say anything to me last night, but Tom's often, always, you know, he gave me basil for you once.
That's right. Organic basil.
Organic basil.
Which I grow myself sometimes.
Yes, you do. So are you going to, you know, maybe one of these times?
Yeah, definitely.
All right.
Of course. We'll have to plan that out sometime.
Nothing to plan out every other Wednesday.
Oh, well, we'll plan it out for a Wednesday then.
No, every other Wednesday. So.
Well, not the ones that are not in session then.
There you go. So not next Wednesday, but the Wednesday after. God knows, you know, I know you're a busy man, so maybe you need, you know, a month or 2 months notice. You've been given notice.
All right, I'm on notice then.
You need to show up.
And stand up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you guys have chairs? You sit down at all?
We do.
Okay, but I'll stand up when it gets real heated.
And you can. There's no question. By the way, I mentioned this to you before the show. Part of last night's meeting was a presentation by the Occupy people. And so Occupy Detroit, which has a very, you know, similar theme to what Whatever It Takes is all about. Anyway, Bart, who is the guy that gets us our guest every day, was one of the people that was there. Our guest today, who we'll get to in a little while, was also there. So I've met Bart before, but it's always nice to put a face to a name. And, you know, they tried to steal me and get me to go on they were on a little tour, a speaking tour last night, and unfortunately, I just get up too early in the morning, I think I told you, I woke up really late this morning. I mean, had it not been for my backup alarm, which is my phone, I would not be here right now. I mean, it woke me up out of a dead freaking sleep, dude, so.
You don't have, Vinny doesn't do that for you?
Vinny's in a cage.
Oh, see, I am dog sitting this week, and I don't have a choice of when to wake up sometimes.
No, you don't. In fact, it was funny because I was talking to you yesterday and the dog was kind of telling you what you were going to do, which dogs often do, Jeff.
They pamper. My parents' dog. They pamper this dog. So she thinks she runs stuff. And it's been a rude awakening for both of us trying to get used to each other. So
it's been for a week, right? Just for a week?
Right.
Well, I think you told me last week or the week before that if you were ever going to be reincarnated, you wanted to be reincarnated as your parents' dog.
Well, your dog and my parents. I mean, you guys treat your dogs very well.
Yeah, Vinny has a pretty comfortable life. No question about that. Anne says to me last night, she says, I'm going to give, you know, she's giving Vinny a snack and out of this bag. And I thought it said McDonald's on it. And I said, what are you giving him? She goes, apple slices.
So it did say McDonald's on it.
It did. And so I said, why are you giving him apple slices? She goes, he's getting heavy. He's gaining weight. Oh, sweet God. Seriously? Seriously, you're going to tell me that he's getting fat? He's been with us 2 months and he's already getting fat? I said, I assure you, there's still plenty of room to put meat on those bones. Because he was really, really thin when we got him. So, you know, he needed a little meat on his bones.
See, that's funny because my parents were kind of the same way, worrying about the dog's weight a lot. And, I just can't understand how this dog is gaining weight. We feed it, you know, we just feed it the bowl of food. And then you start, you know, watching him at dinner time and sneak, you know, stuff down to the dog. And it's like, yeah, that doesn't count, though, you know.
I mean, yeah, well, we don't do that. We don't feed, although Vinny does beg. Anthony will tell you that. Vinny does beg. We don't encourage it, and we ignore him, and eventually he'll go to his bowl of food and eat his own food. So we're not doing that. But, I understand. He does get his fair share of snacks. I think we're all sneaking him snacks without telling each other, which is okay. I mean, he's a dog, for God's sake. Anyway, let's do one before the break. If I were to tell you that there is a professional sports team in Michigan that has won 3 games in a row, would it be the Wings or the Pistons? And you know, and you're uneducated. If you were uneducated, who would you say it would be?
Wings.
Yeah, but it's not.
Nope.
kind of scary. The Pistons have won three games in a row, and in fact, you know, there are some people saying the Wings or the Pistons need to be careful. They can't start winning now because that'll it'll screw up the draft pick. I always find that argument interesting.
Yeah, I don't. I wouldn't be too worried.
You're right there.
But the Wings did win last night, just not their third in a row. Actually, it's their 18th in a row at home. 18th or 17th?
18th.
18th, right.
18th, yes. They're two away from the all-time record.
And a fabulous game. I don't know if you pay attention to the other side at all. I mean, I barely do. Only reason why I know about this guy is because he's been on such an incredible streak lately. But Sam Gagne for the Oilers scored two goals last night. And why is that a big deal? He scored the other night. He had 4 points. He had 4 goals, 4 assists. So in his last 4 games, he's gotten 8 goals and 6 assists.
Yeah, that's significant.
That's incredible. So I'm kind of, you know, that kind of raised my eye a little bit. Oh, okay. So the Wings are going to play the Oilers, you know, and then the guy comes to town, and sure enough, they lose. But the only 2 goals they score are this guy. So yeah, that was incredible to watch or to see that happen.
The Pistons have won 3 in a row. The Red Wings, obviously, as we're talking, did win last night. Very quickly, I want to mention, before we go to the break, that I have Channel 7 on in the studio here up till 7 o'clock, and then I turn it over to MSNBC, but they're doing some kind of telethon for the Michigan Humane Society. If you are a dog lover, you know, they're just showing dogs right now. I don't know if they have any kittens or cats there. Oh, my God, are they cute.
It's their, isn't it? I think they call it their Valentine's Day or Valentine's season fundraiser or something like
well,
that.
Well, it's whatever it is cute as a puppy.
See, I can't watch those because then I will be like, okay, time to get one of my own.
And you are kind of being pulled in that direction, aren't you?
Sort of. I mean, the first day with this dog, I was like, no way could I do it. And then now we're starting to get used to each other, so I'm starting to be like, oh, you know, I can kind of see it happening, but I still don't think I'm ready.
How many trips outdoors during the day have you had to make?
Tons.
Yeah?
The 3 a.m. one is the worst.
Yeah, because you're really not quite ready to get up that early. I mean, you are, but you're not. So I'm sorry that you have to go through that.
And she can't just, like, go, like, on command. I wish she could. Then we could just be done with it, you know? It's like I had to spend 5 to 10 minutes out there.
That would suck. All right, we'll come back. We got a lot to get to, and we'll get to it. 888-552-3595. The official announcement will come down today, in fact. But on what? Well, it's sports-related, but it's not a surprise to anybody, but the official announcement will be made today. We'll get to that on the other side. Stay with us. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
It was $1 trillion and thousands of U.S. lives to topple a dictator in Iraq. It's $1 billion and no U.S. lives to topple a dictator in Libya. That's a pretty stark contrast.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. The freeways are looking good, but there's problems on the east side. Mount Elliott in both directions between 94 and Mount, and Van Dyke in both directions between 94 and McNichols. That's completely impassable because of a stopped train blocking everything. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, sunny, a high near 41. Tonight, mostly clear, a low in the mid-20s. And then tomorrow, snow and showers, mainly in the afternoon, a high near 37. Right now, it's fair and 24 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me, State Senator Bert Johnson.
How we want to do this is very simple. The state of Michigan taxpayers give away every year $35 billion, which would be dollars, to corporations in tax breaks and tax credits. We want to take a look from an accountability standpoint at every single one of those dollars. One of the biggest things the governor said last year was that he wanted to manage and look at and be accountable to every citizen for all of these tax credits. We know that there are many loopholes that can be closed. We want to take a mere 10% of those dollars back. That would be $3.5 billion. That would be enough, Tony, to cover the bill to send every high school grad, I don't care if you went to private or public or homeschool, if you graduated, we want to send every high school grad to college with a full $9,500 grant that would be enough to cover every dollar of tuition at any of our 15 public universities and our junior colleges.
First Shift with Tony Triano on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
First word. First thoughts. First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you. First Shift on 1310 WDTW with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. It is 22 minutes after 6 o'clock. So before the break, the big announcement will be made official today. The Winter Classic will be played at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor. The Toronto Maple Leafs versus the Detroit Red Wings next season will be a big deal. U of M, by the way, Jeff, gets $3 million for the use of the Big House.
I saw that. I think in the form of, I don't remember how they phrased it. It's an educational donation or something.
Whatever. Still $3 million.
Well, yeah, it's pretty good.
Put any label on it you want.
Plus, they get the free publicity, or you know, not that they need it, but it's a big deal that the rest of the hockey world, I guess, now knows that the biggest college game crowd and now the biggest NHL crowd will both be in the same stadium.
The PR stroke's a pretty big deal. I think that it certainly is a nice feather in U of M's cap. They will be selling beer that day.
Well, they better. I mean, Canadians love their beer.
Well, you know, they don't sell beer at the Big House, so it's a big deal.
Right. They had to vote on it and get approval. And I mean, like I said, if you weren't going to sell it, it was going to get drank somehow or another.
Oh, yeah. That you can bet on. So anyway, that official announcement. So I said before or when we started off the show that I received, and I told you about this yesterday when we talked, the handwritten letter from a listener named Pete. A couple things I like about the letter. It's just really just refreshing, and you don't get a lot of handwritten letters anymore. Typed, sure, but handwritten, not so much. And so I appreciate it. Although our good friend Jeannie, as you know, she's online, so we're not getting letters from her. And Jeannie, if you're listening, it's okay. We you know, connecting through social media and email is fine with us. Anyway, Pete sent a really nice letter. I want to share the letter with the audience because I just think it's really nice. It says, if you get around to reading this handwritten letter, please let me introduce myself. I am a listener to your 1310 First Shift radio program. My name is Pete, and in June, if I'm lucky enough to still be around, I will be 88 years of age. So I guess technically he's 87, of course. So I guess people can start calling me a piano. It took me a second before I got that, but I did. Did you get that as well?
Is that how many keys there are?
Yeah, that is. I enjoy your radio program very much. Being a person who has a lifetime interest in the union movement, it is wonderful to realize that the work goes on. And your program has the warm feeling of union brotherhood. The friendly banter during the program, talking about sports, a hole in your shoe, a coffee pot problems, no room for your truck in the garage, your love of your truck, etc. And then he says, over, please. So I will turn the page over. It really makes me feel like a part of a union family. Tony, do you know about the three Troy High School youngsters who won a $50,000 award for some science research that they have done? That seems to be more important to discuss than talking about the mayor, who is in trouble because she used the Q word, which was, of course, queer. By the way, I wasn't aware of the three Troy High School students that won the $50,000 reward. Anyway, he goes on to say, Tony, when the Republicans talk about us, Democrats, they like to mock us by using their code phrase, the Democrat Party. Of course, we just talked about that the other day. I think the Republicans could make good use of a diarrhea mouthwash. That made me chuckle when I first read that. Tony, can anyone communicate anymore without using the verb, the phrasal verb, you know? The expression is often overused. Well, I agree. You know is possibly derived from you know what I'm saying, he goes on to say. Anyway, he says that he thoroughly enjoys the show and is looking forward to listening in the future. And he says, he closes this way, Jeff, which I liked. Since the loss of my beloved wife, I find writing a good therapy. So I'm going to do something. I'm not going to make him suffer through trying to read my writing, which is awful. But I will write him back because he didn't give a phone number or I would have called him. But I'm going to write him back because I appreciate him writing. But I always appreciate when people take the time. Even emails. I mean, I appreciate that a great deal. And most people know that I do return emails if you write me. And, you know, I write you back most of the time. Some days a little harder than others. But I really appreciate when an elderly person takes the time to stop and write a handwritten letter. So, Pete, if you're listening this morning, and as Jeff said to me yesterday, he's obviously listening to the show because he referenced stuff that he would really have to be listening to the show to remember. We appreciate it, and I'll be getting a letter off to you.
I think you're right about the handwritten thing, and it's not—I mean, not just older people. Anytime you get a handwritten anything, I think is pretty cool because they took the extra time to do it, which is funny because you think back in the day, it's just you picked up a pen and started writing, like it was the thing to do. Now it just seems like people would type something out or text or call or. And writing seems a little bit more intimate.
Yeah, well, again, it is. And I think it, again, as you were just saying, kind of underscore that. I'm really deliberately thinking of you, which is a nice thing to do. So we appreciate that a great deal. So thank you, Pete, so much for writing, and I'll be getting a response off to you. In the very near future. Just very cool. I like it. I'm a little confused about something, and so maybe Pete will write me back. The letter is dated December 12th, 2011. Yet the letter was mailed on February 6th of 2012. So I'm thinking that Pete wrote the letter, maybe forgot it. Or, you know, maybe he added to it periodically and then finally put it in the mail on February 6th.
So maybe he was like, I don't know if I want to give them this much praise yet. Let's see if they earn it. So we've earned it since then.
I would think so. Well, anyway, it's a very nice letter, and Pete, we appreciate it. And I got to ask you a question, Jeff. You send me every day, so the audience understands, a list of links to stories. Some of them are meant for air, some of them aren't, but anyway. One of them that you sent me yesterday, I'm not quite sure what your intent was. So let me just throw it out there, and then after the break, I'll ask you to help me out. And again, I'm not trying to catch you at something. I just don't understand. There was a story that you ran across in the Warrendale Detroit blog that was announcing that you could play Wii games at the Detroit Public Library. And I'm not quite sure, and I know it bothered you. So when we come back from the break, I want to find out why. Again, as I'm just trying to get some inside info. That's all. Yeah, okay. 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org. On Twitter, at Tony Trupiano. A quick break. We'll come back and really ramp this thing up. Stay with us.
WDTW Continuous Traffic Watch.
Good morning. This little traffic update brought to you by McDonald's. We've got a serious building fire out there on Grand River eastbound before Greenfield. That's got that shut down. Also, Mount Elliott and Van Dyke in both directions between 94 and around Mound. That's completely shut down because of a stopped train. I'm Russ with traffic.
Stop by McDonald's today to enjoy the new crispy, juicy goodness of the poppable Chicken McBites, made with tender, all-white meat, marinated and coated with home-style seasoning to satisfy your appetite. They won't last long, so try our new Chicken McBites today. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, sunny, a high near 41. Tonight, mostly clear, a low around 26. And then tomorrow, snow showers likely in the afternoon, a high near 37. Quick look at the weekend. Saturday and Sunday, highs in the 20s and sunny each day. Right now, it's fair and 24 degrees at Detroit City Airport.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Last year, during an intimate chat and chew dinner with some Silicon Valley high-tech barons, President Barack Obama posed a question to Steve Jobs, Baron of the Apple Empire. What would it take to make iPhones in the United States? Good question. We need to put more people to work building more stuff in America rather than shipping all that manufacturing off to China. Instead of answering, however, Jobs just said, "Those jobs aren't coming back." Well, why not? Why shouldn't American corporations go all out to help meet the obvious economic needs of the nation that nurtures them? The high-techers don't mention the obvious reasons for their jobs dodge, raw corporate selfishness. Rather than looking inward, however, they blame America. First, they wail that American schools are failing to produce the high-skilled workers they need, so they must go abroad. Yet, these very executives constantly demand that governments exempt them from paying the taxes necessary to improve schools. Second, they say that the U.S. lacks an integrated supply chain, which would locate makers of assorted computer parts right next door to assembly plants. But wait, that's their fault. Apple, Dell, and the like have the market clout to entice suppliers to relocate anywhere in America. Indeed, U.S. suppliers say they've had to move to China because that's where Apple et al. Went. Finally, industry leaders blame us, their customers. They assert that we insist on getting a new cheap iGadget every year, no matter where it's made or how workers are treated, so we force them to abandon America. This is Jim Hightower saying, hogwash! These self-serving, over-pampered high-tech elites can make iPhones and anything else right here in America, but they care more about their bottom lines than their country or their workers, and it's time for us to call them on it.
Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, hightowerlowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us, at Tony Truppiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today.
Tweet. You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
35 minutes after 6 o'clock. Thanks for punching in on this early Thursday morning. One of the benefits, I think, of oversleeping is I actually do feel a little more rested, a little more awake today. Don't know what that's all about. So, Jeff, you sent me a link, and it took me to the Warrendale blog, where it says, residents and visitors to Detroit's Warrendale and surrounding neighborhoods are invited to play Wii games at the Edison branch of the Detroit Public Library. Games will be available to play from free this Saturday, February 11th, from 2 to 3 p.m. Okay, why did you have a problem with that?
It's not a huge problem, but it's just weird to me. First of all, I'm not against it. Just thought it's weird that a library is using, you almost think of reading in books and libraries on one side of the ledger and staying inside and gluing your eyes to a screen and playing video games to the other side. There's also, a third where you can go outside and play and have fun. People, it's weird because I think I'm right on the brink of the age where people are, I grew up with video games, but not to the extent of, people that are a little bit younger than me or maybe much younger than me, where they actually put in like a full day work, 8 hours of playing video games or, stay up till really late hours playing like World of Warcraft and some of these video games. And to me, I'm in that age where people my age are like, really, you're doing that? And yet, a little bit younger, they're like, oh, yeah, of course, So it's, one side of is getting outside and playing and having fun and reading books and going to the library and learning. The other side to me is like video games. And I'm not against video games. I like video games. I'm just saying it's weird to see, that's how the library is trying to attract people to come in to check out everything else, I'm assuming. Because you can play video, you can play Wii wherever you anywhere. But they're trying to get you to come into the library. Well, why is that? To check out everything else that they have, not just to come in and play video games and leave.
Well, that is part of it, of course. They want you to experience or explore all the wonders that are part of a library. We have two beautiful libraries in Dearborn Heights, and both of them have lots of activities for young people. They have meeting rooms. And a lot of it has absolutely nothing to do with reading, of course. So I just think, libraries, again, you sent me the link. There's a reason you sent me the link. It didn't necessarily resonate with me as to why you necessarily, would want to have the discussion. So I thought, all right, well, I don't want to ignore that you sent it because there's a reason you did it. So now we know. That's all.
Well, how do you feel about video gaming and libraries meshing?
Well, I don't really have a problem with it because, and to some degree, libraries are also de facto rec centers. It's a place for young people to go that is safe and keeps them out of harm's way, or at least you would hope it would. It's a community resource. So, yeah, I don't have a problem with it. Anthony will be the first to tell you we really didn't allow them to have video games in our house until they were well into their teens, and it just wasn't something that we felt was necessary for their maturation. Did their friends have video games? Absolutely. Did they play video games? Of course they did.
I had a rule. There was only and it didn't last very, it was hard to enforce, but when I first got one, my parents were like, okay, only an hour a day or something along those lines. Cause they were really worried about, limiting I think it was more the eyesight that they were worried about. But then, look where it's progressed to points now where kids don't go outside and don't exercise at all cause they're too busy. They rush home and then jump right onto a gaming system.
Well, yeah. And again, I don't have kids that age. I'm not a fan of video games, by the way. I'm not at all, period. I'm just not. I've never played them. Kind of like never eating a Taco Bell. I've never played a Madden game. I've never played anything.
Pac-Man?
Nothing.
No?
No. No, I just, that's not my thing. Anthony will tell you, I'm not lying. I just, it's not something I do. We've had game systems in the house for years now, and I've never once picked up a controller. Wouldn't even know how to do it, to be honest with you. I wouldn't know how to turn the damn box on. Well, that's not true. We had a Wii, and I did do the bowling a couple times, which was fun.
It seems like if anyone older than the age of 35 has ever played a video game, if there's just one that they've done, it's the Wii Bowling.
Really?
A lot of, I mean, and I've seen a lot of elderly care places actually encourage the older people who used to love bowling, but, you know, maybe can't hold a ball that heavy anymore or go out to a bowling center. They bring in the Wii and play the bowling.
Okay. Well, I did do that a little bit. But beyond that, I, you know, for all intents and purposes, I haven't really done that. My grandson, who is 8 years old, I think spends way too much time playing video games. And, you know, he doesn't live with us, but we do have him on the weekends. And God only knows how much he's playing when he's with his mother, because I have no idea. I'm not there. So I'm not saying he's playing a ton. I don't know, because I'm not there. It's just, I really feel like video games have become a babysitter. I think that parents are way too lenient. I don't think they put enough restrictions on what their kids play. But, again, I've got a bias, and so I'll wear my bias on my sleeve. I also know, you know, because I've read the studies, that in some regard, it, you know, depending on what games kids are playing, it can actually be quite helpful to helping kids learn and whatever. But, trust me, I've seen some of these games that my grandson plays, and he's not learning anything that I'd want him to learn. I'm just going to leave it there.
Like how to steal a car for
I've got real issues, but I'm going to leave it alone.
Okay.
For all intents and purposes, I know that people, it's just a reality, and maybe I'm a fuddy-duddy. I just think that video games have become way too important in people's lives and then their households. And I think it's taken people away from each other. They don't communicate with each other. Go on to some of these online forums and read what people are trying to, are how they're trying to deal with their kids, trying to get their kids away from a video game console, and see how challenging that is for some families, because they never put restrictions on them to begin with. And now that the kid has a problem, and so they say to the kid, oh, I'm going to limit you. Of course, easier said than done, as you just said, right?
Right, yeah.
So it's a problem. And it's, you know, and again, it's kind of like if you've got kids, the rule generally is with a computer, you make sure that the computer's in a part of the house where the parents can see when the kid's online, right? I think video games should be the same thing, that, you know, you should put it on a TV where everybody has to see what's going on.
The only problem with that now is there's video games on your cell phone, there's handheld video games, there's ways to get around it.
I get that. I totally get that. So, again, I'm probably behind the times on this stuff. Again, it's because it's not important to me, but I'm not one of those people that says it's not important to me, therefore it's not important, because that I don't live that way. I just think that video games have become much too important in the lives of young people, and the parents have allowed the video games to become the de facto babysitter, and the less they have to deal with their children, for some adults, the better it is for them.
So, but in this case, with the library, you're okay with it?
Again, it's an hour. So I don't know if what I'm reading into that, because I read it a couple times, you know, it says, you know, it's free from 2 to 3. Do they charge at other times of the day? You know, is there like, you know, and I'm thinking they do. They probably charge a couple bucks to, you know, quote unquote, rent the controllers, or, you know, for an hour of time, it costs so much money. That's what I'm thinking, just based on how that is written. So, no, I mean, if anything that gets somebody into a library is not a bad thing, for the most part, because once they're there, you know, maybe they will see that there are, I don't know, these things called books.
What are those?
Yeah.
Are those the things that they've loaded onto Kindles now?
Yeah, something like that.
Right. It's weird to me. And again, another thing I thought of is the competition. Anytime you have video games, inevitably you have fights. I mean, that's just what I've seen. You know, people, you know, hey, you cheated on doing this, or they just don't like losing. And I can see it being getting to that point as well.
Yeah, I mean, the problematic side of video games, and it's not just, you know, that. It's, you know, I don't want to play with you, or you've been playing for 2 hours, it's my turn, or, you right. know, where's the other controller? Mom, we lost the other controller, you know, we need batteries. I'm telling you, we've been through all that. It's just much more hassle than it's worth in my fuddy-duddy existence.
I thought you were going to say the story that I sent you was the baby. That was the one that I was going to have to explain. I'm like, geez, how do I explain that? Like, I just thought it was funny. I don't know. The record baby in China or something.
Nah. By the way, did you go to that website I sent you last
night?
Is
that what you were trying to show me? Is that
No.
Because that same story was there.
I know, but they did a, if you scroll down a little bit, they did a mock ad on the Hoekstra ad.
Oh, well, see, I didn't go down far.
You got to go back. It wouldn't be appropriate for air. And you'll know why when you watch it.
People can argue the Hoekstra ad wasn't appropriate for
air. Well, there you go. But anyway, somebody did. Again, you got to go watch it. So later on today, it just wouldn't be appropriate for air. But it was pretty funny. So anyway, making fun of Pete Hoekstra in the process, by the way. All right, when we come back, we'll get to some local stuff. Matty Maroon making a decision and an announcement yesterday. The question is, will it keep him out of jail? Well, I don't get to decide that, but there is a judge in Detroit that does. We'll find out today what he says. And we've got some other stuff to get to, so you'll want to stay right where you're at. 888-552-3595. I am Tony Trupiano. A pleasure to be with you this morning on First Shift. We'll take the break, and we will continue right here on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
I want the top wealthiest Americans to be taxed higher and that money to go to education.
I want true democracy for the 99% of us who don't have it anymore.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
I believe, knowing what I know in a year as a state representative, that the answers were there for a whole long time. The problem is that people chose to ignore them. And the warning signs were there. I mean, they were there in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s and 2000. And here we are today paying the price for the fact that we were living under an economy that was not an economy that is. And this is a messy divorce from the way we used to do things to the way we need to start.
Living First Shift with Tony Trivia
on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
10 minutes before the top of the hour, a couple things I want to mention before we go on. We have a poll question of the day, and so let me get that out first. Governor Snyder, by the way, will be enumerating his budget today. The question is, it is rumored that Governor Snyder will propose a 0.8% increase in per-pupil spending for K-12 education next year. Is that enough of an increase, in your opinion, yes or no? So go check that out. If you scroll down just a little bit on the same Facebook page, again, just search for First Shift, there is a picture. One of our listeners, Mike, posted a picture, and I decided to make a contest of it. Now, there's not been a lot of activity on it, so I need you folks to go over there and check it out. It's actually a really great picture. So we haven't had a lot of responses, and I actually posted it yesterday afternoon. I thought that we'd give it some ramp-up time, so it didn't work. Go check it out, and then caption the picture, and then the winner will get a hat and a couple pens from the show, and I'm happy to do that. Jeff, why are you telling me Indonesia is a country?
Because one of the comments underneath this this picture that was posted,
oh, okay,
mentioned Indonesia as a hometown, and I just wanted to make sure we were factually correct in saying that it's actually not a hometown of anybody because it's a country.
Okay. All right, now I'm seeing it. okay. Fair enough. I just read it, so I get it. Well, that's what happens when you criticize the president and you don't think first. That's all I'm going to say. Fox 2 did a piece yesterday on Matty Maroon and the bridge company, the owners of the Ambassador Bridge. You're all aware of what's happening there. Dan Stamper, the president, Matty Maroon, the owner of the bridge, recently jailed, let out of jail in front of the appeals court. Now they're trying to figure out if they're going back to jail. Here's what they believe the solution is to keep them out of jail.
The Ambassador Bridge leaders say they came to a significant decision.
We are going to comply. We are complying with the court orders, whether we agree with them or not.
Matthew Maroon and his father, billionaire Matty Maroon, will no longer be involved in decisions involving the Gateway Project. That's the ramps and access roads connecting the bridge to I-75 and I-96. The issues in a long-standing legal battle between the bridge company and the Michigan Department of Transportation.
The Maroons, father and son, are going to step aside from this decision-making process. There will be a new committee that has the absolute legal control over these issues.
The Court of Appeals panel ruled the judge does have the right to send the Ambassador Bridge people back to jail again. But first, he must provide a detailed plan of what he expects so they can avoid going to the slammer again. The prospect of going back to jail was a factor in the bridge company's decision.
It enters into all of our thoughts, and I don't want to speak for Matty or for Matt, but it enters into a lot of our thoughts. And what's different today is we're saying we will follow the court's orders, not try to follow the agreements and the court's orders that we've seen in the past. The court has ordered us to do certain things. We're going to do those.
You know, if the judge says, I'm ordering you to do X, and we say, Judge, not only are we willing to do that, but we've already started work on it, I don't know another way to satisfy him.
In Detroit, Bill Gallagher, Fox 2 News.
All right, thank you, Bill Gallagher. Appreciate that. Of course, will that be enough? You know, some more are already saying no, because they're basically, their hands were forced, and they should still be punished for ignoring this court order for so long. By the way, it would not surprise me, nor do I think it would be inappropriate if they weren't fined a substantial amount of money. The reason I say that is what they did do instead of doing the ramp work and bypassing this neighborhood. They built a fuel stop and they and made a lot of money, lots and lots of money by not completing this project. So we'll see what happens later on. All right, moving on. Yesterday, Roy Roberts, who is the emergency manager for the Detroit Public Schools, announced and what some are saying is a very controversial move, the closing of 18 more schools in the Detroit public school system, and this is what happened.
One out of every three DPS students will be affected by the changes outlined in this plan for us today. A total of 16 school buildings will end up closing. Seven of the buildings are outdated and will consolidate into four new state-of-the-art facilities for children in the fall. Now, the nine schools not consolidating into the new facilities are closing because of declining enrollment, and some of the schools are underachieving. The district is down to around 69,000 students when they used to have at least 100,000. Another four schools will be turned into charter schools if the district can find charter schools to partner with. Robert says this is that he has 15 schools he's also closely watching, and he didn't name them yet, but says if they continue to be low-performing schools, they could also find themselves closed in the future. Robert says this is only the beginning, that the closures will save roughly $7.5 million, but they are still battling an 86.3 million dollar deficit.
Seven superintendents in 7 years, and every time one come on board, me or someone else, they change the program. They jerk principals around, teachers around, and the kids get hurt. We need a degree of continuity, and that's what we're trying to put in place, a ramp that would make sense to us going forward.
Robert says he made this announcement early enough so that parents can get their students situated and learn about their new schools and find new enrollment. We have all the closures and changes on our website at WXYZ.com. Live from downtown, Julie Bonovich, Channel 7 Action News.
Yeah, I guess the reality is it is what it is, and I'm my overall comment with respect to the closing, and I said 18, it was 16 schools. Roy Roberts just said, you know, everybody is, you know, going to do their own thing. Everybody that's had this job, including me, so I just thought if I announced it early enough, people get over it. That's basically what I heard him say. Low-performing schools. I want to know what matrix they're using. I don't know. We'll let it go for now. Last but not least, Channel 4 on what our poll question was on yesterday. The church confessional, should that be admissible in the court of law? That question will be answered by a court very soon. This is what they had to say on Channel 4.
It's a rape case here in Belleville. The defendant, 15 at the time, the alleged victim, 9 at the time, and both members of the Metro Baptist Church. The question now is, are things that this defendant told his pastor admissible in court?
Police say Samuel Bragg sexually assaulted the girl when she was a guest in his Belleville home. 2 years later, the girl told police and Pastor John Vaprizant. The pastor invited Bragg and his mother to talk to him at the church, where Bragg allegedly confessed.
It was going to be a private matter.
Defense attorney Ray Kassar says communications between clergy and parishioners are confidential under Michigan law.
The pastor never told him, hey, listen, I'm going to tell people about this. They assumed it was a privileged conversation, and the pastor is the one that breached that conversation.
The Wayne County Prosecutor's Office says of the meeting between defendant and pastor, it was not made in the course of church discipline or for the purpose of spiritual guidance. They also argue that the teen's mother was present, so it wasn't confidential.
The implications are terrible. Number one, I think people could actually be in a position where they're second-guessing whether they want to confide in their pastor.
All right, and that'll do it, folks. We have to take the break for the top of the hour. The question, again, is out there. Should that confessional be admissible in court? You decide, or a court will. We'll take the break. We'll be back on the other side. Stay with us.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We do have one accident out there, 275 northbound before Huron Road. It's in the center median. It's causing some minor Gawker delays. Also, Grand River eastbound before Greenfield is currently closed because of a building fire. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, sunny, a high in the lower 40s. Tonight, mostly clear, a low around 26. And then tomorrow, snow showers move in, a high near 37. Right now, it's fair and 24 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after the top of the hour.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift for Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9, right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News is next.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Leading the news, lawmakers in Washington State have voted in favor of a bill to legalize same-sex marriage. Governor Chris Gregoire says she'll sign the bill to make Washington the seventh state to legalize marriage for gay and lesbian couples. Openly gay Democratic State Representative Jamie Peterson addressed federal lawmakers in the lead-up to the vote.
It allows gay and lesbian couples access to civil marriage while protecting the religious freedom of those who oppose those marriages. It protects your freedom no matter what you believe.
Republican State Representative Jay Rodney was one of the outspoken critics of the bill.
There's no right to marry a person of the same sex in our Constitution. And that is the classic definition of a constitutional right.
The Washington same-sex marriage law will go into effect in June unless opponents stop its implementation by putting it on the November ballot. Federal and state officials are finalizing details of a deal with banks and regulators to give money back to homeowners whose houses were foreclosed on and seized without proper paperwork. New York and California have decided to join a long list of other states in the settlement. Only a handful of states are still undecided. Shelling and bombing by Syrian government forces of the besieged city of Homs has left residents cowering and fearing for their lives. New York Times columnist Nicholas Kristof says there seems to be no end in sight.
Thousands and thousands of people have died already, and it looks as if we're heading toward a civil war.
So far, the United Nations has done nothing about the situation. The Pew Research Center finds the Great Recession has left a big percentage of young adults in the U.S. unemployed. Pew's Kim Parker says it doesn't come as a huge surprise.
We know that from previous research that young people often are hit harder in the labor market during these economic downturns.
The Pew Research finds only 54.3% of people between 18 and 24 were employed at the end of last year. That's the lowest level since the government started keeping records just after World War II. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
This is Charles Osgood. Why is it important that auto owners insurance works solely through local independent agents? Because independent agents live and work right in their communities, providing you with quality service and more choices. Auto owners insurance is ranked highest in customer satisfaction with auto insurance claims experience 4 years in a row, according to J.D. Power and Associates. For J.D. Power information, visit jdpower.com. For your life, home, car, and business insurance needs, visit autoowners.com. Auto owners, the no problem people.
This weekend at the Home Depot, get a Delta Zella Chrome Bath Faucet for just $69. With its beautiful water-saving design, it looks as good on a water bill as it does on a sink. And since it's part of our savings spectacular, it also looks like a great opportunity to update the whole bathroom, thanks to hundreds of other get-it-done savings on vanities, tile, lighting, and more. So come kick off your doing with a Delta Zella Chrome Bath Faucet for just $69. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
Very soon, about half the states in the nation could be charging sales tax for your online purchases. Right now, more than a dozen states have laws on the books mandating sales tax for e-commerce. USA Today reports 10 more states are considering tax rules. This as state budgets increasingly tighten and as traditional retailers pressure governments to even the competitive playing field, arguing tax-free internet sales are de facto discounts. Doctors and hospitals soon will be changing the way they treat you. That at least is the hope of the insurance industry as another insurer joins the list of those such as WellPoint and Aetna changing how they pay for care. Wall Street Journal reports UnitedHealth will reward providers for prevention by concentrating more on testing and avoiding hospital readmissions rather than just paying for services. Stock indexes in Asia have slid today. European markets are higher. S&P futures are lower by 4 points. NASDAQ futures down 7. Dow futures down 20. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
When you were a kid, you had all sorts of toys. Toy cars, boats, trucks, entire toy boxes full of fun. Of course, you never really outgrow your toys, do you? It's just that now, instead of a box full, you have a garage full. Cars, trucks, boats, motorcycles, ATVs, and more. As you get older, your love of toys just gets stronger. So protect those toys the best way possible by switching to Allstate. An Allstate agent can help do the switching, paperwork, bundle all your policies together, and even find you a bunch of discounts. So if you love your toys, make sure you protect your toys by making one call to an Allstate agent.
Protect all your toys with Allstate. Find an agent near you at allstate.com today. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Property and Casualty Insurance Company and Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and their affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Dollar for dollar, nobody protects you like Allstate.
My daughter swims like she's part fish. But when she developed asthma, I worried she wouldn't be able to do the things she loves. There are lots of specialists, lots of advice. Without United Healthcare, I couldn't keep track of it all. United Healthcare has tools to help her pediatrician coordinate her care, so everyone works as a team.
We're more than 78,000 people looking out for 70 million Americans. That's health in numbers. United Healthcare.
Now we both breathe easier.
Newman, where's Shipley with my cost analysis?
She's homesick, Mr. Fernwell. I'll handle it.
Ooh.
Oh, no, are you sick too, sir?
Newman, last time you did the cost analysis, it wasn't pretty. Call Bob from Account Temps.
Oh, I never get to do any of the important stuff.
Okay, you can do payroll.
Yes, what's that?
On second thought, Bob from Account Temps could handle payroll too.
Bob.
Call Account Temps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Account Temps, a Robert Half Company.
It's the same each time with progress. First they ignore you. Then they say you're mad. Then dangerous. Then there's a pause. And then you can't find anyone who disagrees with you. Welcome to your new reality. Welcome to your new opportunity. Welcome to your new hope. Welcome to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. It is 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Thursday, the 9th day of February 2012. I am Tony Trupiano. A pleasure to be with you on this early Thursday morning. We have a pretty amazing hour planned for you. You know, we focused a great deal of our attention Monday on the Pete Hoekstra ad, which, many found to be racist and biased. But it in some sectors of this country and in the world, for that matter, it also brings up another conversation, and that is trade balance and something that Senator Debbie Stabenow has been working on now for quite some time, which is trying to hold the Chinese accountable. We often don't, and we certainly don't talk enough in this country about the reality of what's happened in American manufacturing with regard to jobs lost as a result of Chinese-made auto parts. Is it a dirty little secret? Is there a reason why we're not talking about it in a bigger way? I don't know that I have the answer to that, but my next guest may. Before we get to him, though, I will remind you that at the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk a little bit about the Michigan Health Exchange. It's a conversation that you're hearing a lot about. Most of us have no clue what it means. We'll find out what it means and how it impacts you. And, of course, at 7:50, Occupy Detroit, as always, will occupy First Shift. Let me turn my attention now to my next guest. And joining me now is Scott Pohl. Scott is the executive director of the American executive director of the Alliance of for American Manufacturing. When I read the reports that we recently received from the AAM, I was astounded by what I've learned, and I think that you will be equally astounded this morning. So let me welcome Scott Pohl to First Shift this morning. A pleasure to have you with us, Scott.
Great to be with you, Tony. Thank you.
This is astounding stuff. I'm just going to read headlines. I'm not going to get into the nitty-gritty stuff for just a second, but let me read headlines. 1.6 million more jobs at risk from illegal subsidies. Michigan at risk of losing 249,989 supply chain jobs over the next decade. China's trade violations contribute to the loss of more than 400,000 jobs in U.S. auto supply chain. I could go on. Scott, these are damning numbers for an industry that, although is rebounding, could desperately use any percentage of these jobs back.
Well, you're right, Tony, and I think the challenge that we face is that this is like a tale of two cities. I mean, the auto industry actually, as you know, very acutely in Michigan, took a big hit, and it's rebounding, and it's not going to be up to 2007 levels of employment for a very long time, but at least it's headed in the right direction, and there are lots of forecasts that we could be creating, you know, somewhere in the vicinity of 150,000, 175,000 more jobs in the auto sector nationwide, and of course a good portion of those would be in Michigan. But I think I think people are aware of the potential of that, but the peril is the surge in imports from China. Imports from China in auto parts, and again, they aren't selling cars in the United States yet, but auto parts that go into the original equipment and also the aftermarket, they have surged by 900% over the last 9 or 10 years. We have an enormous trade deficit, $9 billion with China in auto parts right now, and it doesn't have to be this way. If you look at other countries that have auto sectors, like Korea, Japan, Germany, all of those countries have a surplus with China, which means they're selling them more auto parts than they're buying from China. The United States is the only major auto-producing country that has such an extraordinary deficit with China, and it's because of a flaw in our trade policies. We're not nearly tough enough with the Chinese. We don't support our industry in the same way as other countries do. And unfortunately, it's just not a metric that matters to our policymakers, with, you know, Senator Stabenow and a few others being the exception. But that's why we're trying to heighten awareness about this, to do something about it before it is too late.
Well, it seems to me, again, if you just take a look at the raw numbers and I realize that I'm not as learned in this stuff as I should be. Part of the reason why we have you here today, Scott Paul. But as we take a look at this, we're talking about a massive amount of jobs lost. We're talking about billions, if not trillions, of dollars potentially in lost profit and opportunity for. Not just Michigan, but U.S. workers. It seems to me that these are the kind of numbers that would get anybody's attention. I don't care what side of the aisle you happen to be sitting on.
That's right. And this is not a partisan issue. I mean, there are... I heard you tee up the segment with the Pete Hoekstra ad, and that was, I mean, that was definitely, you know, stereotyping and fear-mongering. But there are legitimate issues that we have with our own trade policy and also the practices of the Chinese government. And it is not on currency, for instance, there's broad bipartisan support to try to ensure that China has a currency policy that's not costing us jobs. And nearly every Michigan member of Congress, when this came up, including the Republicans, voted for the bill 2 years ago. So it's not a partisan issue, and this is not something that is just the UAW, the steelworkers that are complaining about and rightly complaining about, but it's small auto parts makers that want to keep their jobs here, that want to keep their business here, and that's what they need is for the government to step up and say to the Chinese, you got to stop these unfair trade practices, otherwise you're going to face consequences, and you have to open your market up to us. That's the only way that trade really works. But for all the good things that the president has done, and he's done great things on ensuring a level playing field for the tire industry and for other sectors, we're going to need the president to step up and do something on auto parts as well.
And again, my guest is Scott Paul. Scott is the executive director of the Alliance for American Manufacturing. And, you know, Scott, I guess it's a simple question, but a big question. How has this been allowed to happen? Because it seems to me that this is a problem that is now creeped out of control, but it's really happened in plain sight. It's not like they've been hiding what's going on.
Well, not at all. And if any of your listeners like looking at the evidence, you know, and getting into the grand jury indictment, so to speak, there's obviously plenty of material. We issued three reports through two different entities, the Economic Policy Institute, which is a great progressive think tank in Washington, D.C., issued a report on the volume of Chinese subsidies to its auto parts industry, which is approaching $30 billion, which is extraordinary. I mean, how do you compete against that? And then they issued another report that showed the extent of the jobs in our supply chain that are at risk, not only in Michigan, but in more than a dozen other states where there would be a dramatic impact if this is allowed to continue unabated. And then that real kind of grand jury indictment was done by a law firm that specializes in trade cases. It's more than 250 pages long, and it uses Chinese government materials and translates them and shows all the plans the Chinese government has to boost its own auto parts industry, to exclude our auto parts from its market, to force technology transfer. And when you look at that, you can come to no other conclusion that these are jobs that are at risk in the United States. And unless we stand up and say you have to play by the rules, it's going to be another industry that leaves our shores, just like the toy industry did and just like the clothing industry did, although obviously there are some exceptions to that. For auto parts, it's too important to have that happen to. There are just too many jobs involved, and it's the heart of auto production in the United States. It's where most of the jobs are, and it's really kind of the core of manufacturing in this country. And if we lose that, we lose a lot of know-how, we lose a lot of wealth, we lose a lot of jobs, and a lot of communities will be suffering.
In fact, in some of the information that you provided to us, let me just read this. It says, in pursuit of the global leadership by 2030 in what the Chinese call new energy, automobiles and their components, the Chinese government will invest a total of $1.5 trillion in that sector and six others over the next 5 years to enable them to grow at an annual rate of 35%. Over that period. Scott, I'm just going to have to be bluntly honest with this audience. We can't compete with that.
No, not at all. And when they have no profit motive, I mean, they're heavily subsidized by the government, so they're not trying to please, their shareholders, or they're not a family just trying to scrape by a living that's owning a small auto parts facility. I mean, this is a strategic plan that the Chinese government has to ensure employment in China, but to take more market share. And when you see this, both the surge in subsidies every year, and also the extent to which our trade deficit is rising with China in auto parts, and it's going up at an annual rate of 25% a year, it is going to be extraordinarily difficult. And one of the reasons why we're doing this now, as opposed to when most of the damage has been done, and there has been some damage done. I mean, we've certainly lost some auto parts business to China. There's no question about it. But we're not at a point where it's after the fact. And, Tony, that's why we came out last week and did this, and we were pleased to have Senator Stabenow, Senator Sherrod Brown from Ohio, Congressman Sandy Levin from Michigan, and also Senator Bob Casey from Pennsylvania, and we anticipate a number of other elected officials going to join us in this effort.
Scott, we're just out of time for today. I assure you that this is something we will continue to follow, and I would imagine we'll have you back fairly soon.
Well, I'd love to do it, Tony, and if your listeners are interested in any of these reports, they're available on AmericanManufacturing.org.
Thank you. We'll be back.
First Chip with Tony Triano.
And we do have to remember, the straw vote is one thing, but then there's one other thing called delegates. Yeah!
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Got a problem on southbound 35 at Sachaubon. Accident there blocking the center lane. Also, 696 westbound after Mound, an accident on the right shoulder. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City weather.
The forecast for the National Weather Service, today sunny, a high near 41, tonight mostly clear, a low around 26, and then tomorrow snow showers move in, a high near 37. Right now it's fair and 24 degrees at Detroit City Airport. Our first shift going up after this.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Recently on First Shift,
April DeBoer and Jane Rowell join us now.
Again, Tony, the basis of everything came down to protecting our children and their rights. We, as Carol and Dana will tell you, we could draw up all the papers in the world to try to protect them, but in any, you know, an event, a judge could walk in and say, I don't really care about what their wishes were. The best interest of this child is to be with anybody else but this other parent. And the stark reality of that, you know, really hit home as our kids get bigger. You know, we really want to provide everything we can for them to ensure that, that their rights are protected and that if something were to happen to one of us, that they would be able to receive our Social Security benefit that a married couple and their children are currently receiving.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiani on 1310 WDTW.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Tribbiani page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born? Born for greatness.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiani on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Tribbiani on Twitter.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift
with Tony Tribbiani.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after the hour. It is Thursday morning. We have a lot to get to today. A lot of email coming in. Twitter has become quite popular for the show. At Tony Tribbiani, by the way, if you haven't yet added us, feel free to do that. We do have a caption contest today. There is a picture up. You might need to scroll down a little bit on the First Shift Facebook page. But it's there. It'll be up through the end. Well, it'll be up forever, but we'll pick a winner by the end of the show. Not a lot of captions so far. So, folks, if you want to get on and caption the picture. By the way, the picture was taken at the White House. They did a science fair at the White House. And that machine that the president is standing in front of with the young man shoots marshmallows. I just happened to see that bit on the news the other day, that's all. Governor Snyder, later on today, will be talking about his upcoming budget. Our Facebook poll question of the day has to do somewhat with that, as he is going to suggest a 0.8% increase in K-12 school funding after raping the children of the state of Michigan of that monies, those monies this year. You know, the question is it going to be enough of an increase? And obviously, my answer to that is going to be absolutely and definitively no. I mean, we need to be much more responsible about that. But let's talk about something, you know, very quickly that's a little happier because I want to remind you Next week is Valentine's Day. If you have not taken care of your sweetie yet, you need to do that. I can't make it any easier and actually more affordable than I already have. But let me give it to you again because I've got one heck of a deal for you. And first of all, you got to send them, if your sweetheart, your wife, your significant other works, you really want to send the flowers to work because everybody likes that kind of attention. And don't say they don't, because they do. Even if they say they don't, they do. So I have an amazing deal for you. So all you have to do is remember the code TONYT, T-O-N-Y-T. If you go to proflowers.com, at the very top right, you're going to see a microphone. You're going to put the code TONYT right there. That gives you access to two amazing deals. One of them gets you a dozen roses, assorted roses, from proflowers.com for just $19.99 and a free glass vase. And that's half off. The other deal, which is the one I sent Ann, you really will impress her. Two dozen long stem assorted roses with chocolates and a teddy bear from proflowers.com for just $39.98. Now, the colorful bouquet will make anyone feel special. That's true. And again, you're going to get all the credit for it, which is even better. But, you know, you need to be mindful. And as I shared on the show, the flowers have lasted way longer than 10 days. So you're really getting your money's worth out of them. And last week when I posted pictures of the flowers to the Facebook page, people were actually posted saying that they have gotten Pro Flowers themselves or sent Pro Flowers themselves and couldn't believe how beautiful they were and how long they lasted. So that just isn't my testimonial. So, again, if you just go to proflowers.com, and again, at the very top right, you'll see a microphone. Put in the name, the promo code, Tony T. You're going to get either one of those deals. Or you can call 800-PRO-FLOWERS. That's 800-PRO-FLOWERS and mention Tony T. and take care of it. But you got to do it, folks. You got to make sure you take care of her. I don't want to deal with you if you don't. She deserves it. It's Valentine's Day, after all. Do the right thing.
I went to amateur flowers one time, and it didn't work out very well for me at all.
Oh, sweet God. Only you would say that.
The flowers didn't last long. It was too expensive. So you got to go with the pros. No.
Yeah, I'm just kind of, I wish I had time to see if there is an amateurflowers.com, but I don't care.
I wouldn't recommend them. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but, well, good. Would you recommend Pro Flowers? That's the question.
After what you've been saying about them, then yes.
No, they're great. They're great. Again, that day that I posted the pictures of the flowers, which was 10 days after I got them, members of our audience were actually posting to that they had Pro Flowers either and bought them as a customer or had received them, and how great they were. Governor, during the State of the State address, by the way, going back to this budget for just a moment, because I just ran across a story I printed out for this morning, said that public safety was an issue. There were four communities in particular that needed more cops. He is apparently going to propose a $75 million subsidy to help those four cities. That's not nearly enough money. That's not nearly enough money. It will not have nearly the impact in those communities that they originally talked about. The Attorney General recently suggested investing at least $140 million over 2 years to hire at least 1,000 police officers statewide. And then last week we had State Representative Jim Ananick on the show, who proposed taking that amount and dedicating half of it to be divided among communities that are under financial review or have an emergency financial manager. The plan would also take into consideration areas with higher crime rates and the ratio of police to population. The balance of the funding would be used to increase staffing levels statewide. The governor's not going to make that kind of investment into public safety, unfortunately. He's going to, again, suggest a lot of money go into the rainy day fund. I kind of want to save some of this conversation for when I've got David Hecker here, because Although he's going to talk about education funding, you know, the budget in general is a conversation that he and I are going to be having. So I want to save a little bit of the conversation for that. But it's very disturbing, the early returns on what we're hearing the governor is going to propose today. It is just, I don't think it's common sense, although this governor has kind of proven that he's not into common sense, sadly enough. But we'll get to it. We'll certainly get to it as we work our way through the rest of the day. Talk about crazy Republican governors very quickly. John Kasich, the governor of Ohio, gave his State of the State address on Tuesday. And just really weird. His speech was laced with repeated mentions of his wife. An impersonation by the governor of somebody with severe Parkinson's disorder, and a reference to Californians as wackadoodles. Now, listen, I'm not saying that he makes Snyder look good, because no one can make Snyder look good. But we look at Mitch Daniels in Indiana, John Kasich in Ohio, and could it be worse? Yeah, it could be worse. So I'll let that all speak for itself.
Out of all the crazy, super crazy, wacko governors, do you think we got kind of the I don't even know how to phrase it. You know what I'm saying? Like the better of the bunch?
Can I reserve my comments for another time, please?
Yes.
All right, thank you. When we come back, the Michigan Health Exchange, what is it? What does it mean? And why is it important to you? We're going to explain all of that on the other side. This is First Shift, and you're listening to 1310 WDTW.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're looking at some delays out there on 75 southbound from Ortonville Road all the way down through Sashaba because of an early disabled vehicle. 96 eastbound between Milford Road and Beck Road. You're going to find some heavy traffic there. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, sunny, a high in the lower 40s. Tonight, mostly clear, a low around 26. And then tomorrow, snow showers do move in, a high in the mid to upper 30s. Right now, it's fair and 24 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
1310 WDTW.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. The IBEW Local 1464 organizing win at a GE transportation plant in Kansas City, Missouri, the first at a GE plant in 10 years, was officially certified this week. GE mounted a strong anti-union campaign through its union avoidance operation, but IBEW lead organizer Mike Knox says workers at the plant got fed up with broken management promises and wanted union representation. He says this organizing win for the IBEW sends a powerful message.
A very big win. Our message is, you bring the IBEW in, you now have a seat at the table. Before, you take what the company gives you. Company doesn't give you a raise, company changes your benefits, what do? You can't do anything. You have to take what the company gives you. You bring the IBEW in, now you have a seat at the table, you have a say so, you can vote on what goes in that contract.
A worker was killed at that plant in 2010. IBEW 1464 business manager Daryl McCubbins says despite a constant anti-union campaign by GE, the workers who rebuild railroad traction motors at the plant voted for the IBEW. McCubbins says safety was a huge issue, and he urges workers facing similar issues to contact local unions and get organized.
If you're in a place that you would like to see organized, contact a local in your area and sit down and get informed of what your rights are and start having conversations with other coworkers. I believe the labor movement is on the upswing, and we're still here, but we need help to get to the people to help organize them.
Republicans are not happy about having their National Labor Relations Board obstructionism trumped by President Obama. Jesse Russell has more.
Republicans spent Tuesday fretting that President Barack Obama's recess appointments to the National Labor Relations Board amounted to a constitutional crisis. Committee on Education and the Workforce Chairman John Klein of Minnesota argued that businesses will be unable to make important decisions because they aren't clear on the legitimacy of the appointments. Republicans had been opposed to approving the president's picks, leaving the board incomplete and in violation of the National Labor Relations Act. During a Tuesday hearing, Arizona Representative Raul Grijalva said an incomplete labor board was hurting working families.
Employers, not to mention the workers and their families, I don't think they benefit from the from a dysfunctional board that cannot make decisions. That to me is even routine, mundane decisions can't be made during this period. And that to me seems to be really bad public policy.
This newscast made possible in part by Ulico, the Union Labor Life Insurance Company. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
We want to hear from you.
Interact with First Shift.
Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page.
Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O.
Or call us now,
1-888-552-3595.
Now, back to the show and Tony.
All righty, welcome back. As promised, and again, this is not a complicated topic, but it's one that deserves your attention, so I'm going to ask you to pay attention. And my next guest is going to explain it to us. It's not that complicated, but it does deserve some explanation. I got a call and an email a couple days ago from my next guest. His name is David Wamsley. David is with Justice, very active with the AFL-CIO, and really doing an amazing job of educating and empowering people to the truth about the Michigan Health Exchange. And so he asked if he could come on the show. It just makes sense to do it because there is a lot of confusion. And again, a lot of us don't even know what this means. So David, let me welcome you to the show. And I appreciate you giving us some of your time this morning.
Morning, Tony. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about what is the Michigan Health Exchange so that people have a foundational idea of what we're talking about here.
Well, under the Patient Protection Affordable Care Act, which most people know as Obamacare, each state can design an exchange where people and businesses can get their health insurance. If they don't design an exchange, then the U.S. government will have an exchange they can fall back on. Under the exchanges, you can purchase your health care as a group from the Internet or over the phone, and there's choices how to design the exchanges, and not many people know about those.
All right, and so I know that the state legislature has been debating, I don't know, the virtue, what to do, what not to do, how to fund it, how not to fund it. So what's happening at the state level, and why should we be paying attention to this, Dave?
Well, at the state level, the Senate passed the My Health Marketplace design. It's a nonprofit clearinghouse design. And right now it's in the House of Representatives for consideration, and they're putting it off right now for a little while, so there's time to influence how it's designed. The design that they have in Senate Bill 693, like I said, is a clearinghouse nonprofit design for an exchange, and that's a private company-owned and operated advertising site for insurance companies paid for with about $50, $60 million of ours tax money. The other option is an active purchaser exchange, either quasi-governmental, which would be like a state authority like the Mackinac Bridge is operated under, or run by the state. Now, this type of exchange would be owned by us, operated by us, and working for us. They would be able to negotiate better rates, put us all in one large group, and we would be able to save a lot of money under that design. The other design, there's not much of a cost savings for anyone under that design.
Well, you know, and again, these are things that that we need to do. What are you asking of this audience today, though, Dave? What is it that you need them to not only understand but to do?
Well, we need people to understand the issue. It's not really complicated, like you said earlier, and I'm giving presentations on it. You know, it's either a private-owned advertising site for insurance companies, which is pretty obvious that they designed and will benefit them, or it's a design that will work for us that we own that will actually negotiate rates. The the clearinghouse model and the My Health Marketplace actually makes it against the law for the exchange to negotiate rates for us. I mean, that's a bad thing. It's a bad law, and it needs to be changed. What I think people should do is contact their House of Representatives rep and let them know how they feel that they want an exchange designed to benefit them. And also the Health Policy Committee. Those people are very important in deciding this issue. I have a petition I could send you a link to where people could sign, and it would be automatically forwarded to the governor and the Health Policy Committee and the Health House of Representatives. And also, if anyone was interested in a presentation, my email address is dawams222@yahoo.com. And I'd be happy to come out and give presentations. So far, all the people that it has been explained to can see what the best choice for the people and businesses in Michigan is. And, you know, they choose the active purchaser, quasi-governmental model rather than the clearinghouse nonprofit model. You know, there's been a lot of problems with some of the super large nonprofits. What comes to mind right now is the Michigan Catastrophic Claims Association that was created for the no-fault insurance law. And they've got like $14 billion of our dollars. And when we want to know what's going on, why they have that much money and what their claims data is, you know, they say, no, we're a private company. We don't have to release that information. And you have to actually sue them to get information out of them. So, I mean, the nonprofit clearinghouse design is really a bad deal for us.
Yeah, for all of us. Now, as I want to point out, as of right now, there's really not a a time frame in which we need to do this. But with that said, David, it's important that we not also wait too long before we get engaged, that we sign the petition. And by the way, just feel free to send me the link and we'll get it up on the Facebook page. And I'll give you a chance to give your email address out again in just a moment. But, you know, I don't want people sitting on their hands and then waiting until the end going, oh, now we need to do something quickly. You know, this is the time. And again, we're asking people to get educated. We're not asking people to make a blind decision or to just do something based on what I think they should do, Dave, or what you think they should do. You know, we're looking to educate people so they can make a decision on their own. But they do have a say in this, and they should have a say in this, and they should take advantage of that.
Well, that's 100% true. I mean, what the case is right now is that if we don't say something, we're going to get a bad deal. If we don't stand up and start speaking for ourselves, we're going to lose. I mean, you know, there's a possibility if this exchange is designed right, we could save a lot of money. You know, people are losing their jobs now. They're talking, you know, 20% premium sharing, and there's people with spending, you know, say $6,000-$7,000 out of their income, and they're only making $20,000, and they still can't go to the doctor because of copays and deductibles. Now, if the exchange was designed properly, you know, we'd have a lot of influence on the healthcare industry, and the cost would come down greatly. Rather than keep going up, we might even be able to get it to go down a little bit. So that's very important. And as to the time frame, I mean, this has to be done by June this year, in order for us to set up our own exchange. And if we don't do something, I mean, it'll either be set up as a bad deal with what they've got right now, or else we would go to the national one and we would lose control of our health care. So that's very important that people start doing something now.
You know, I find it interesting, Dave, especially as I think about our legislature, and again, more specifically, the House, why they're not being a little more proactive in this. I know that there are those that, that you know, especially those that are more conservative, more Tea Party-like, they're just in denial over what the Affordable Care Act is and what it's going to do. But in denial or not, it's there, it's real, it's going to happen, and sitting on our hands doesn't solve any problems.
Well, you know, that's true, and a lot of the problem is they don't really understand the issue. And if you wouldn't mind posting the article that I explained it in that was in the local Observer, I mean, it's pretty simple. In 700 words, it really explains the difference in the different designs and the different benefits. And a person can understand it pretty simply through that. You know, it's not a difficult thing, but also, I talked to a couple of people up there in Lansing while I was up there. I also testified at the public comment hearing at the Health Policy Committee. And, you know, a couple of the assistants in the representative's offices said, you know, these bills come through. You know, you might have two or three bills to vote on in a week. You don't really have a lot of time to get educated on them. So some of these people are voting for bills, and they don't even know what they say. They're just going on whatever someone tells them. And the person that's telling them the most is the insurance company lobbyists and the people that are going to benefit from the design that's in place right now.
Yeah, and there's no question that that can be quite problematic. Give your and I will make sure we get all that stuff linked up to the Facebook page, so don't worry about that. But do give out your email address again, Dave Wamsley.
Okay, it's dawams222@yahoo.com. And if you could let the people know to be careful, if you search for the Michigan Health Exchange petition on yahoo.com, my petition pops up to the top. But if you go to Google, this petition doesn't even pop up, and it's an opposing petition. All I can think of is that they're trying to cut this off at the knees here. A different petition pops up, and it supports the status quo bill.
Okay, well, that's good to know. But we'll make sure, folks, it's just easiest. Wait for us to post it on the Facebook page at First Shift. And then that way you don't need to worry about Googling it or getting the right one, getting the wrong one. We'll make sure we get it all up and ready to go. Dave, I want to thank you for your time today. Again, this is an important issue, but again, we have some time, so let's get educated. If you'd like Dave to come speak to your group, and I would imagine it doesn't matter what size it is, Dave's more than happy to come out and speak to you, to give you the information, to educate you so that you can go out and make a decision. Again, that's all we're ever asking anybody to do, get informed, and then make a decision based on that. So, Dave, thanks for your time today.
Okay, and Tony, thank you very much for your time.
Nah, my pleasure. It truly is. Folks, you know, this is like one of those obvious things that's going to happen. Get educated, then make a decision, reach out to your lawmakers, say, hey, listen, I'd like you to support this or I'd like you to support that. What's already been proposed is a no-no, but again, I'm going to let you make that decision on your own. Reach out to Dave. Again, it's dawams222@yahoo.com. And the article and the petition are posted on the Facebook page as we speak. Thank you, Jeffrey. Quick break, and when we come back, Occupy Detroit occupies First Shift. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Trivino.
Well, I mean, it really wouldn't be surprising if Donald Trump endorses Mitt Romney, because they both like firing people, and they've both made millions doing it.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. You are connected to the Internet. I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities.
If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Recently on First Shift,
Senator Gretchen Whitmer, who wrote a masterfully written commentary in the Detroit Free Press yesterday that is getting attention nationally. Why did you decide that it was time to come out and talk about this rampant sexism that's happening in the state legislature right now?
First, let me tell you, I appreciate your assessment of what's going on here. Because, you know, this, like the bullying fight, was not something that involved me directly. But when you see this type of behavior, I think it's incumbent on anyone as a top elected official, especially me on this issue as the top woman in the legislature, to say this is beyond the pale. Now, I knew when I stood up and called it out that there would be a backlash, but I'm raising two little girls in my household, my daughters. I'm trying to ensure that they're strong, confident, substantive young women in training. And when I tell them this type of behavior would be unacceptable at school, it sure as heck is unacceptable at the highest levels of our government.
First Shift with Tony Trivia on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. Tony Trupiano on Twitter, and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
They're chanting, we're standing right in the middle of this rally, and they're saying that they're tired of corporate greed. They've had it.
Absolutely. I'm part of the 99% that's fed up with the egregious behavior of the 1%. From now on, we occupy all streets.
The movement is resonating with cities across the country. It began as that Occupy Wall Street effort.
The movement to Occupy Wall Street coming to Detroit.
The world will not change unless the way we talk about it changes.
We can just get that message across. It'll hopefully start some change.
Dozens of UAW members showed up to support the protesters.
We're losing our homes. We're losing our jobs. Union workers are facing a terrible time at the bargaining table, and workers who don't have unions are even worse off.
Time for Occupy Detroit to Occupy First Shift.
Indeed it is, and indeed it's going to happen right now. Joining me, back with us once again, is Luciana Sabgash. Been a while since she's visited with us. I will tell you that last night I got to put a name or a face to a name, as I was fortunate enough, really gifted enough to meet Luciana. And it's a pleasure to have you on the show this morning. It was really nice to meet you yesterday.
Yeah, it was a pleasant surprise. Thanks for having me on again.
No, it's my pleasure. Got a lot going on. There's a nice fundraiser coming up. We're going to talk about that. But, you know, let's start with a little bit of giving some foundational stuff and letting people know about Shareholder Spring and what that's all about for the Occupy Our Homes people.
Yeah, I work with Occupy Detroit, and Occupy Our Homes is kind of a spinoff focused on foreclosure. We have a little bit different organizational structure because we're paired up with more traditional organizations across the nation, Michigan Organizing Program. The Shareholder Spring is, we had an action in the B of A and New Center this last week where we took a homeowner and we allowed him to, Dave Kirby, to mic check the B of A branch inside the New Center building to launch Shareholder Spring, which is the idea that every spring usually there's a shareholders meeting for each one of these corporations. And in this case, we're looking to buy shares for families facing foreclosure who've been evicted from by Bank of America. And the shares are actually quite cheap, but we're going to transport and house these families down to where the meeting is. And it's like a big corporate extravaganza, of course. And we believe that the meeting, which is turning out to be quite secretive and we're tracking it down, is going to be in Charlotte, North Carolina. So it's a bit of a ways, and I'm hoping that we can empower a lot of families and take them and allow them to speak to the very people who make profit from their plight and turn their struggle into their pocketbooks. And instead of doing something for the community, are just constantly using the system and manipulating the system to make money for themselves and degrade the foundation of our society. And destroy the American dream, and people are losing faith in the ability to put roots down and raise their families, and we're losing tax base, and it's very detrimental, and it's something that can be completely avoided if these banks actually chose to do the right thing and work with families. These stories that come from these people should be heard, and I'd like to empower them to have their voices, and I'd like them to take those stories to the throat.
And, of course, Luciana, you know, one of the things that we have to do is help those people get there financially, ergo the fundraiser. So let's talk a little bit about the two-day fundraiser and how this audience can get involved.
Yeah, we're having a two-day, very casual fundraiser at Whiskey in the Jar in Hamtramck. The address is 2741 Yemen's Avenue. It's near the corner of Joseph's Campo. Our very good friend there, August, is a huge supporter, very progressive himself, and he's invited us to kind of have a meet and greet on the two evenings he works this week, on Thursday and Friday. The official hours are from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m., and I'm thinking I'm going to try to get some food and some possibly items to raffle or give away. I'm still working on that. I just want to make sure we have at least some bumper stickers from Occupy Detroit since they're so popular. And I want to promote the idea of shareholder spring and start fundraising so we can get the ball rolling and we can bring as many people as we can.
Now, have you picked the 2 days that you're going to do the fundraiser, or are you going to announce that in the near future?
Oh, we're going to start the fundraiser tonight and tomorrow.
Oh, so it's going to be...
And I'll probably be organizing other events as we move along here because we have till about May.
So tonight and tomorrow at Whiskey in a Jar in Hamtramck. So you'll want to go check that out. And of course, you know, this is one of those things where all the proceeds are going to go help to do something profoundly good. We should mention that, you know, Occupy Our Homes has been, especially in Detroit, very successful, you know, helping the Henrys, who we've had on the show. We had Dave Kirby on the show the other day. Unfortunately, by the time, you know, you folks, or he came to you, he had already lost his home, but I love Dave's spirit. I love the fact that he's willing to help others. We also talked about the other day on the show, the Garretts, for those that were wondering, and without Occupy Our Homes, the Garretts wouldn't be living where they're living right now because they came with a dumpster and the Occupy Our Homes folks kept them away. I know you want to give a special shout out to UAW Local 600, do you not?
I absolutely do, and people before banks. I don't come from a union family, but and a lot of people don't understand how tightly intertwined the unions are, especially in foreclosure defense, especially Local 600. We have a very good working relationship with them and lots of people from Occupy Detroit and Direct Action Committee. We live stream at these events. It's quite a large crowd whenever we do something.
Have you been surprised at the overwhelming support that the greater community has given, especially those that are in foreclosure?
No, and the idea of getting building more towards like blocks that fight foreclosure and whole neighborhoods that kind of organize around the idea of like we won't allow this to happen in our neighborhood, to really like develop and establish a greater sense of community and making a stand, not just by one home at a time, but by zip code to go. The idea is to go national, to move policy, to create larger amounts of change. But it's very tangible to, like, look at a family and know that they're in a home and that we saved the business at 1515 Broadway. It's a very small amount of work for a very tangible outcome, and it's something that anyone can turn out to do.
Well, you know, again, this is because I'm seeing this unfold before me, the power of people. Often we talk about making a difference, and we actually are with regard to the Occupy Detroit, Occupy Our Homes, and all of those that are affiliated with those efforts. There have been remarkable victories, and they'll only continue to grow. Again, they do have their fundraiser tonight and tomorrow night at Whiskey in a Jar in Hamtramck, starting at 7 o'clock, 7 to 11. Although I can't make it this week, if you guys do another one, because I, you know, you made me feel guilty yesterday. Yeah, I want you to know that, Luciana. And I know that's why you did it, because I have a hard time saying no to a pretty lady. And so I promise the next one you do, I will come to. I promise.
Well, I know you get up early, so we have to do something during the day.
No, that's all right. I'll commit to coming in the evening. I promise. I will do that for you.
That'd be fantastic. I would love to see you, Mark.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time today, for your message. Again, just want to remind people, tonight and tomorrow night, Whiskey in a Jar and Hamtramck, help them raise a little money for a great cause. And, Luciana, we will talk to you again soon.
Absolutely. Have a good day.
You bet. When we continue, David Hecker will join us just in town. He's been a very busy man. A lot on his agenda today, so you're going to want to stay tuned. Don't forget, we've got a caption contest going on. You want to win some First Shift swag, you've got to caption the picture. Hey, it is what it is. We'll take the break and be back.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're looking at an accident M14 eastbound at Godfredson Road. It's on the shoulder. It's causing some minor gawker delays, some delays on southbound 75 between 14 mile all the way down through 8 mile. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, sunny, a high in the lower 40s. Tonight, mostly clear, a low around 26. And then tomorrow, some snow showers move in. Only going to see about an inch of snow at the absolute worst, a high near 37. Right now it's fair and 24 degrees at Detroit City Airport.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the commercial workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310 WDTW.
Dearborn, Detroit.
Now, time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Top story this hour, continual shelling by Syrian government forces has people in the besieged city of Homs fearing for their lives. Arab Affairs analyst Robin Wright at the Woodrow Wilson Center says the Syrian violence shows the world is divided into two camps over this issue.
What we're seeing happen over Syria is really a kind of new alignment. You have Russia, China, and Iran helping Syria, and you have the Arabs, the Europeans, and the United States all on the other side.
The hacker group Anonymous says it's uncovered emails to Syrian President Bashar al-Assad coaching him on what to say before an interview with Barbara Walters late last year. CNN's Brian Todd reports there hasn't been any comment from the author of that purported email.
Essentially telling him that as long as you can say, hey, we made mistakes and we're fixing it, Americans will believe that. They'll believe anything. We tried to get some response to this hacking by the person who sent that email. She's an aide to Syria's ambassador to the UN. She sent that email on coaching Bashar Assad to a press aide in Damascus. And we didn't hear any response from her to this message.
Government lawyers in Florida are looking to block some medical malpractice lawsuits from being filed by military personnel and their families. Andrew Tillman of the Military Times says the effort's raising eyebrows.
A lot of critics say that the military actually provides inferior medical care in some cases because their doctors and their hospitals don't have the same exposure to lawsuits.
The share of young adults with jobs has hit its lowest level since the government started keeping records just after World War II. The Pew Research Center reports only 54.3% of people between 18 and 24 were employed at the end of last year. Pew's Kim Parker says even many of those who do have jobs have altered their lives and their aspirations.
We had 50% of the young people that we interviewed saying that they had taken a job that they didn't really want just to pay the bills.
A bipartisan group of lawmakers in Washington State has voted in favor of a bill that would legalize same-sex marriage, and the governor says she will sign the bill. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Castrol Edge, the official motor oil sponsor of the NFL, knows you have the strength to perform. So when you buy a Castrol GTX conventional oil change special for $20.99 or a Castrol Edge oil change special at Advanced Auto Parts, you'll get an official NFL hat for the team of your choice free by mail. At Advanced, we don't do anything just part way. We go full throttle by bringing you exclusive deals that will flip your lid. Service is our best part. See store for details.
This weekend at the Home Depot, get a Delta Zella Chrome Bath Faucet for just $69. With its beautiful water-saving design, it looks as good on a water bill as it does on a sink. And since it's part of our savings spectacular, it also looks like a great opportunity to update the whole bathroom. Thanks to hundreds of other Get It Done savings on vanities, tile, lighting, and more. So come kick off your doing with a Delta Zellichrome bath faucet for just $69. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
The parent company of Pepsi is eliminating 8,700 jobs around the world in a plan to save $1.5 billion. That revelation comes as PepsiCo reports slightly better than expected earnings and sales for last year's fourth quarter, but forecasts a slowdown in earnings for this year. Almost a week after the Labor Department stunned everyone with news employers created far more jobs than expected in January, we get our first glimpse of the job market with information from this month. Economists expect new jobless claim filings for last week likely edged up to 370,000. Ahead of that, S&P futures are down 2 points, NASDAQ futures losing 3, Dow futures down 11. For more people, convenience is becoming the only advantage to shopping online, as more states pass laws forcing online sales taxes to be collected. Right now, more than a dozen states have such laws on the books. USA Today says 10 more states are looking to join the ranks. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
When you were a kid, you had all sorts of toys. Toy cars, boats, trucks, entire toy boxes full of fun. Of course, you never really outgrow your toys, do you? It's just that now, instead of a box full, you have a garage full. Cars, trucks, boats, motorcycles, ATVs, and more. As you get older, your love of toys just gets stronger. So protect those toys the best way possible by switching to Allstate. An Allstate agent can help do the switching, paperwork, bundle all your policies together, and even find you a bunch of discounts. So if you love your toys, make sure you protect your toys by making one call to an Allstate agent.
Protect all your toys with Allstate. Find an agent near you at Allstate.com today. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Property and Casualty Insurance Company and Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and their affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Dollar for dollar, nobody protects you like Allstate.
My daughter swims like she's part fish. But when she developed asthma, I worried she wouldn't be able to do the things she loves. There were lots of specialists, lots of advice. Without United Healthcare, I couldn't keep track of it all. United Healthcare has tools to help her pediatrician coordinate her care, so everyone works as a team.
We're more than 78,000 people looking out for 70 million Americans. That's health in numbers. United Healthcare.
Now we both breathe easier.
Nelman, where's Shipley with my cost analysis?
She's homesick, Mr. Fernwell. I'll handle it.
Ooh.
Oh, no, are you sick too, sir?
Nelman, last time you did the cost analysis, it wasn't pretty. Call Bob from Accountemps.
Oh, I never get to do any of the important stuff.
Okay, you can do payroll.
Yes, what's that?
On second thought, Bob from Accountemps could handle payroll too.
Bob.
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountemps, a Robert Half company.
Progressive. Favoring or advocating progress, change, improvement, or reform, as opposed to wishing to maintain things as they are. Conservative. Disposed to preserve existing conditions or institutions, or to restore traditional ones, and to limit change. First Shift with Tony Tribbiano. A rational path to follow in order to forge ahead, allowing for deliberate advancement and a way forward that benefits the entirety of society while allowing a difference of opinion. Well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Now, here's Tony Tribbiano.
And welcome back. It is 6 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Thursday, February 9th, 2012. We have a lot to get to in this hour. We will have some time for open lines, by the way, a little bit later on. But as always, you're welcome to join us, 888-552-3595. The email address, tony@thetonyshow.org. We have a lot to do, and we don't have as much time as we would like with David Hecker today, so I'm going to go ahead and get right to my guest, and then we've got little time later on for some of the other stuff that I'd like to get to. So, guys, give me my intro, and we'll get going.
The empowering voice of the American Federation of Teachers, Michigan.
If I could just quote the New York Times. A portrait emerges of a company that tries to squeeze profits from public school dollars by raising enrollment, increasing teacher workload, and lowering standards.
and they're talking about this one particular cyber private for-profit called K-12. The head of K-12, Mr. Packard, makes $5 million a year. That comes from the state allocation that a cyber school gets per child.
In with Tony is President David Hecker.
All right, we welcome David Hecker back fresh off a plane, and appreciate you taking the time. I looked at your, you sent out an email yesterday, and I looked at your itinerary for today alone, and I don't know how you're going to get through till noon, so good luck with that.
It's great to be back on, Tony. Thank you.
Again, as always, we appreciate it. Today's a big day for the state of Michigan. The governor will reveal his budget. We do have a little bit of a teaser in that he's going to raise the K-12 education budget. I think the number is 0.8%. Just give me your reaction to that, David Hecker.
Well, yeah, no, information leaked out. I'm sure it leaked out on purpose. I mean, governors do that. People do that before their big speeches. 0.8% is nothing. Also trying to piece together how you get that 0.8%. It looks as though it's all going to be tied to districts meeting certain measures. But 0.8%, the way I did some quick math on the plane this morning, last night, and that looks like that may come to about $100 a child. And don't forget, last year it was cut $470 a child. So, you can't look at this as just the budget for 12-13. It was cut $470 for 11-12, where, we're going way back.
Well, that is, I guess, the larger problem here is, we need to look at why the budget was cut to begin with. It was cut to give corporations a tax break. It wasn't cut for any other reason but to give corporations a tax break. And so it's not like they're giving back anything. Giving back would be giving back the money and then all the money, and then something on top would be an increase. So it's not a 0.8% increase in any. It's still, and we're still in a deficit here. I want to make sure we position that properly.
Where it's a major deficit. My quick math, just based on news stories, so we'll see what the governor says today and then do the real math. But it looks as though, rather than being down $470 a child from a couple of years ago, we'll be down $370 a child from a couple of years ago. Still, a devastating cut.
And then it's tied to maybe tied to a formula that we don't quite understand yet, right?
It's tied. It sounds like it's tied to best practices. In this year's budget, it was cut $470 a child, and districts had a chance to get $100 back a child by meeting certain measures. It sounds like, from the news reports, all the money available for K-12 is going to be tied to meeting certain measures. But again, even if those measures are met, it is still, it's pennies compared to the cut that happened.
What about the districts that will have trouble meeting those measures? I mean, that's certainly a conversation worth having, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So what happens to them? They don't get the $100?
Well, the way it worked this year, they wouldn't get the $100. I'm not sure how they're, it sounds like from the news reports, they may get nothing. They may not even get the 0.8. And the question is, what are the measures, and are these measures that truly reflect how a district is doing, giving all the factors that go into how a district does?
Maybe, and I'll be honest, I may not understand this as fully as I need to, so let me just ask the question. It's my understanding that there is a school aid fund, and money goes into that fund, and it is supposed to be for schools. The governor has decided that he no longer wants to use all that money for schools. Is that the way I'm understanding this?
What the governor did in last year's budget, so for the budget that we're living under now, the school aid fund has always been K-12 education. Starting with the budget we're living under now, under Governor Snyder, the school aid fund funds K-12, community colleges, and higher education.
And he could arbitrarily make that decision?
So he put it all, there's references to higher education in the school aid fund, but the school aid fund has never been used for that purpose. Community college and higher ed is always under the general fund. Now, it isn't his unilateral decision. The legislature has to vote, which they did last year. As you know, passing the budget is really a bill. It's a public act. And so they voted to combine all education in the school aid fund without, you know, cutting the money, let alone not increasing it to the extent it would need to be increased to cover all of K-16 education.
So this is an entirely partisan event, really.
Well, it is certainly a different approach, right? We have one political party who believes corporations should get an 86% tax cut, and to pay for that, you slash education funding for our children, and you have another political party that believes you have to properly fund education for our children, and you don't hand the gift of an 86% tax cut to corporations.
All right, and again, I don't mean to sound so rudimentary here, but I just want people to fully understand what's going on. We talk about our schools either, you know, well, let's, you know, we mostly talk about schools underperforming, and when that happens, again, we got the ruling from the emergency manager, Roy Roberts, in Detroit yesterday, closing 16 schools. Some of them are underperforming schools, and that's why they're being closed. I don't always quite understand what underperforming means, because I don't always know that we're applying the same criteria for each school. But with that being said, is really the way to treat schools to take away funding? Is that the way to make them better?
Well, there's a softball for you. Thank you, Tony.
Well, no, I'm just saying. I mean, that makes no sense to me.
It clearly makes no sense whatsoever.
By the way, let me interrupt for just a second. Yeah. I'm not always saying that money solves problems, because it doesn't always solve problems, but certainly taking that kind of money away from education isn't solving problems.
In education, what I say is money is necessary but not sufficient. It isn't just unload the Brinks truck, give us more money, all the problems are gone. That's not it at all.
Okay, good.
But,
that's fair.
But without money, you're going to have larger class size. Without money, you're going to have less program. Without money, you're going to have older textbooks. I mean, it just goes without saying. And then in the world of universities, today we're releasing an issue paper on so-called performance-based funding in universities. The governor's address today is going to talk about universities can earn up to 3% more in funding by meeting these so-called performance-based measures. Now, just like K-12, don't forget, higher education was cut 15% last year.
Right.
So even if these were the fairest criteria with no possibility of negative consequences, and every university earned the 3%, it would still be a drastic cut. And, you know, and the state, as you know, is totally disinvested in higher education. Over 10 years, we've cut by 50% the amount of money the state provides higher ed, which means less programs, means tuition goes up. So they take money away from higher ed, and so fewer programs, less ability to do as good a job as you could possibly do because you don't have the resources. And then they say, to get more money, well, you have to meet these certain criteria.
That's where I get confused.
Right. But making it harder to meet those criteria because they've slashed funding. And a concern with some of these performance-based criteria is it's one size fits all. When we have 15 universities in this state, all with unique missions, different student bodies, students at different universities with different needs and goals, there's a good chance that admission criteria may be increased for the sole purpose of increasing graduation rates, therefore getting money, although that may not be the best thing for students. There's a chance standards, once you're in, could be lowered to make sure students graduate. There could be a narrowing of a curriculum to make sure that you're teaching the program, that kids are going to do okay and they'll graduate and the university will get its money, rather than being an innovative, thinking out of the box what we need our universities to be for purposes of the future of the students, but also for economic development of the state. Let's restore the 15% cut from last year in higher education. Then let's sit down and have conversations. But there are likely negative consequences to so-called performance-based funding, And again, even if you meet it, it's pennies compared to the drastic cuts we've had to higher
education. All right, we have a lot more to get to. David Hecker, again, my guest. He is president of the American Federation of Teachers of Michigan. We need to take a quick break here. A lot more to get to in the next segment. We only have one more segment, so we're going to get to as much as we possibly can. Again, we'll take the break. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. I'm Tony Truppiano. We'll be right back.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
We'll welcome Theo in Detroit.
Well, thank you, Tony. I want to tell you I appreciate the fact that you bring information that we might not otherwise hear anyplace else.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Keep an eye out on southbound 75 before M59. There's tire debris across all lanes there. Also, I-96 eastbound before Beck Road. An accident there on the right shoulder that's causing some delays. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, sunny, a high in the lower 40s. Tonight, mostly clear, a low in the mid-20s. And then tomorrow, some snow showers move in, a high in the mid-30s. Right now, it's fair and 24 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So, if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Truppiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
And joining me now is the guy that is the game changer. His name is Kevin Howley. He understands what it takes to lead, and he understands what it will take to move Oakland County. Jobs will fix almost any problem we have. Are you going to be able to come up with a jobs program that's specific to the county that will attract new industry and new businesses to the county?
Well, and I think that focus has to be on the county. If you look at what's going on in Washtenaw County, they've got a venture capital hub in Ann Arbor. If you look at what's going on in downtown Detroit right now, if you look at from the river up to West Grand Boulevard, venture capitalists are moving into that area and creating jobs. Jobs are coming to that area. And I have to question, why is that not happening in Oakland County? We have to look at our landscape. We have to be able to go out and talk about what we're the best at. We have to be able to attract capital. And I really think that venture capital core is important. So that's one thing that I want to look at.
First Shift with Tony on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Truppiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Truppiano on Twitter.
Tony and the crew are punching back in and looking to hear from you.
1-888-552-3595.
Tell us what's on your mind. Now, here's First Shift. Tony Truppiano.
Well, welcome back. 22 minutes after the hour, just anxious to get back. David, I spent the whole break just going on and on and on, talking about performance-based lunacy is what it is, in my opinion. David Hacker, my guest with the American Federation of Teachers of Michigan. Talk a little bit more about this this performance-based funding paper that you mentioned a little earlier. What is that about?
Well, we succinctly took a look at the history of performance-based in other places, what problems have come up. We introduced it by talking about, as I talked about quickly here, the drastic funding cuts in higher education over years, not just under Governor Snyder, over years and years. And then we go through, which, I did quickly here before the break, some of the problems. And, one thing I didn't mention is that 14 states initiated, 26 states initiated some kind of so-called performance-based funding over the years. 14 have abandoned it. And the states that started it up when their states were healthy. So it wasn't a matter of, I'm going to drastically cut your funding and then give you a few cents back on the so-called performance base. It was a matter of, we're properly funding higher education, and then there could be some money on top of properly funding higher education. But the key is 14 states initiated those programs and then over time abandoned them because it wasn't doing the job, and the potential negative consequences were coming to fruition.
As we take a look at funding higher education, again, as a parent of college-age children, it is a challenge, and we do know that the cost of college goes up on an annual basis. I've read articles that say colleges are sitting on millions of dollars and that they don't need to increase tuition at the rate they're doing it. I've also read other articles that say, oh, absolutely not. In fact, with the way states are treating higher education these days, they need every dollar they can get. I guess I'm a little confused, David. When I raise money and I've got an endowment in a college, am I raising money for our college general fund? Am I raising money for a building that needs renovation? Do we need to separate those monies?
When a university raises money for an endowment, it's not to take care of your annual operating budget. It's money that they raise oftentimes from alumni, but other places as well, for them to be able to set up new programs, for them to be able to expand, for them to be able to, augment what the university does, not the everyday put the lights on, make sure people get paid kind of thing. Everyone acknowledges that higher education is absolutely essential as an economic development tool to turn this state around. And then we say that's the case, and then too many people who have the vote say, well, let's slash the funding for it. Well, if it's a key economic development engine, let's really properly fund it and provide it the resources that it needs to think out of the box, to be innovative, not to just take the safe course because that's going to earn me a few more dollars. A university that does that is not fair to the students, but is also not going to benefit the state.
I just find it so ironic that especially here in the state of Michigan, and the Republicans love to talk about the brain drain, and we all talk about it. Republicans love to talk about it. Yet everything they do is pushing young people out mm-hmm. of the state of Michigan. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. Again, it's a simple philosophy. Do as I say, not as I do, and it's just crazy. I just need to switch topics because we only have you for a few more moments. Yesterday there was obviously a big discussion in the state house about cyber schools. Interesting dialogue, if interesting is the right word, but I do have an FCC to adhere to. They're going to expand, although they're going to limit. I read the language. I can't make heads or tails of it. I don't think that they completely understand what it is they're doing, but they are going to expand cyber schools here in the state of Michigan. They're going to limit it. God bless State Representative Lisa Brown for being mm-hmm. the voice of reason, mm-hmm. although they didn't listen to her. She was the voice of reason mm-hmm. in the room yesterday. The reality is cyber schools is a reality, and they will be around.
They will be around, and they'll expand. In the intro you did to the show, it was a quote from something I said at a prior show, and I was quoting a New York Times study. Take a look at performance of cyber schools, and they don't do nearly as well as brick-and-mortar schools. It's, you know, there's a group of people in the private sector, not everyone by any means, but a group of people in the private sector who take a look at the billions of dollars that is spent nationally on public education, and they want to get their hands on it. And, you know, one example is a gentleman mentioned in the quote in the lead into the show this morning, the head of this company called K-12, which runs cyber schools, who makes $5 million a year off of the per state allowance for the students who go to the cyber schools. So the performance isn't there by any means whatsoever. Beyond academic, the lack of academic performance, you miss a key part of public education, which is the whole socialization process of being with people like you, not like you, learning how to interact. Absolutely. With people who agree, disagree with you. And then this guy pockets $5 million a year off of our students, off our students' education. I mean, and it's going to grow given, you know, it passed the House committee. I am sure a version close to it will become law.
Well, I'm happy to say that the article that I have in front of me, which is from the Gongwer News Service, talks about a couple things. Number one, one Republican voted against it. One Republican abstained from voting. The Republican that abstained from voting said that the constituents in his district do not want this bill. Mm-hmm. So I'm not so sure this passes the House when mm-hmm. push comes to shove. Now, I don't know when it's going to go to the full House for consideration or for
right.
vote.
Right.
But this may be, if we work this right and this audience is paying attention and calling their state reps, I don't care if you've got a Democrat or Republican, you need to call and tell them how you feel, which is to vote no on this. I'm not so sure this one passes, David.
Well, you know, it won't come up for a vote until they know they have the votes, if they have the votes. And, you know, if listeners would call their state rep, state senator, and say no to cyber schools, that would be extremely, extremely helpful.
Well, again, this is one that certainly, and I want to encourage people to go out and read what you can about this today. I'll, of course, be posting to the Facebook page so that I'll make that a little bit easier for you. But certainly something that you need to pay attention to. No question that's true. I was encouraged by this article that I read early this morning as it came in last night. Well, first of all, I know that you're a little short on time for today, so we're gonna let you go. We'll look forward to having you again in a couple weeks. But I do want to quickly mention the AFT endorsed President Obama and Vice President Biden. I've got a button on. Thank you for the button.
A hot off the press button. Our national meetings were in L.A. where I was the other day. We endorsed them, then heard from Vice President Biden, and it was a great day.
All right. David Hecker, thank you so much. We'll look forward to seeing you
thank
in a couple
you,
weeks.
Thank you, Tony.
All right. That'll do it. Folks, open lines on the other side. Call us, 888-552-3595. We'll continue on First Shift right after this.
WDTW continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We've got an accident out there, 96 eastbound before Beck Road. It's on the right shoulder, causing some minor delays. 94 westbound between Outer Drive and 75. You'll find some slowdowns there. Same goes for southbound 75 between 9 Mile and 8 Mile. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast for the National Weather Service. Today, sunny, a high near 41. Tonight, mostly clear, a low around 26. And then tomorrow, some snow showers move in, a high near 37. Quick look at the weekend. Saturday and Sunday, we're going to see some sunshine, but highs only in the 20s. Right now, it's fair and 24 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Jeff sent me a list of tweets in response to Rick Santorum's three victories last night. My favorite one is the very first one from Philip Klein. All these people are Republican strategists or tied to the Republican Party in some way. Philip Klein says, breaking, Ann Romney tells Heckler, my husband can't blanking throw the ball and catch it at the same time. I actually laughed out loud, Jeff, when I read that one.
Me too.
That was actually very funny.
First Shift with Tony Triana
on 1310 WDTW.
Last year, during an intimate chat and chew dinner with some Silicon Valley high-tech barons, President Barack Obama posed a question to Steve Jobs, baron of the Apple Empire. What would it take to make iPhones in the United States? Good question. We need to put more people to work building more stuff in America rather than shipping all that manufacturing off to China. Instead of answering, however, Jobs just said, those jobs aren't coming back. Well, why not? Why shouldn't American corporations go all out to help meet the obvious economic needs of the nation that nurtures them? The high-techers don't mention the obvious reasons for their jobs dodge, raw corporate selfishness. Rather than looking inward, however, they blame America. First, they wail that American schools are failing to produce the high-skilled workers they need, so they must go abroad. Yet, these very executives constantly demand that governments exempt them from paying the taxes necessary to improve schools. Second, they say that the U.S. lacks an integrated supply chain, which would locate makers of assorted computer parts right next door to assembly plants. But wait, that's their fault. Apple, Dell, and the like have the market clout to entice suppliers to relocate anywhere in America. Indeed, U.S. suppliers say they've had to move to China because that's where Apple et al. Went. Finally, industry leaders blame us, their customers. They assert that we insist on getting a new cheap iGadget every year, no matter where it's made or how workers are treated, so we force them to abandon America. This is Jim Hightower saying, hogwash! These self-serving, over-pampered high-tech elites can make iPhones and anything else right here in America. But they care more about their bottom lines than their country or their workers. And it's time for us to call them on it.
Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, HightowerLowdown.org.
Sound off on our Facebook page, facebook.com/1310WDTWAM.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
We're back, 35 minutes after the hour. All right. So here's the deal. Before we get on to some of the more heavy stuff, want to mention Valentine's Day, as you know, next week. And I want you to do what you're going to do anyway, which is order flowers for your sweetie. Here's the deal. I'm going to save you money. I'm going to guarantee you Valentine's Day, the day of Valentine's Day, day delivery. And all you have to do is one of two things, and they're both real easy. If you go to the web and you go to proflowers.com at the very top, on the right-hand side, you're going to see a microphone. In the code there, type in Tony T. All right? Once you do that, one of two deals. Number one, you get a dozen roses, assorted roses, from proflowers.com for just $19.99. And with that, you get a free glass vase, and that's it, half off. Or, if you really want to impress her, and this is what I sent Ann, go to proflowers.com. Again, same deal, microphone at the top right. You'll see the little opening, you know, the little thing there. Tony T is the code. For $39.98, two dozen assorted roses, a box of chocolates, and a teddy bear. They're beautiful. They will last forever, as the flowers in my home did. She will be happy. Life is good. And you're going to be ordering flowers anyway for Valentine's Day, so you might as well do it this way and save yourself some money. Again, they're guaranteeing Valentine's Day delivery. ProFlowers has delivered, get a load of this, more than 40 million bouquets since they began in 1998. So don't forget, Valentine's Day is next week. Order now. This offer expires tomorrow. So you want to save money, that's the way you got to do it. ProFlowers.com. All right. 888-552-3595 is the phone number for First Shift. Yesterday we talked in detail towards the end of the show about President Obama and his campaign deciding that they're going to change their mind on super PACs and ask you to contribute to them. Why did they do that? Well, even though we had a caller that doesn't understand that, it's kind of hard to play a game if you're not playing by the same rules. And politics is a game for all intents and purposes. Bill Burton, who runs the Democrats' super PAC, says the Democrats are not awkward and are not in an awkward spot now. So let's let Bill Burton, who I have to know, by the way, let's let Bill Burton explain it.
Bill Burton, who runs the Obama Super PAC, Priorities USA Action. Mr. Burton, thank you for joining the program today.
Hi, Alex.
Hi. Bill, do you find yourself in an awkward position these days or yesterday and today, given Jim Messina's decision and email out to supporters saying that it's time to put some money into super PACs?
Not particularly. You know, as I said on your show previously, this is not a perfect system. And these are not the rules that we would have if we were able to just make them from whole cloth right now. But it's the rules that we've got. And we're going into an election where Karl Rove and the Koch brothers and oil billionaires and Wall Street have pledged hundreds of millions of dollars to defeat President Obama and all the things that progressives really care about in this country. We thought that maybe we don't like the rules, but there ought to be a countervailing force to what those guys are doing.
Keeping in mind that when President Obama said that he was not going to accept PAC money was before Citizens United. It was before at least $30 million have gone into super PACs during the Republican primary. It was before the rules changed. This is what Bill Burton had to say about those very rules.
On some level, criticism from the right is probably expected, but certainly many voices on the left are saying that this goes against those very progressive ideals that you're trying to uphold. Senator Russ Feingold says, I think people will see it as phony that Democrats start playing by Republican rules. People will see us as weak, and as I have said before, to me, this is dancing with the devil. I mean, how do you respond to people on the left who are unhappy with this decision?
I think devil might be overstated, but I will say that, you know, we love Senator Feingold. He's certainly entitled to his opinion, and we're Democrats. And obviously, we come from a diverse set of backgrounds. We have diverse opinions, and that's why we're all in this party, is because we like disagreeing with each other from time to time. But look, we are for campaign finance reform. The president is for campaign finance reform. But you don't get to change the rules if you're not in control of the car. So what we think is we need to maintain control.
Sorry, Bill,
we need
to stop you there. This is the president of the United States. How can you say he's not in control of the car?
Well, I tell you what, the president, Democrats in the Senate, Democrats in the House have all tried to push through campaign finance reform. They've tried to push through the Disclose Act. The president in the campaign made mention of reforms that they wanted to push through as well. There is a united front here for campaign finance reform, but it is a minority in the Senate who's stopping it from going forward. And when you're up against this obstinate minority, when you're up against the Supreme Court of the United States, you can't always change the rules as fast as you'd like to.
All right. So, you know, again, I'm not here and I'm not looking to entertain phone calls and have arguments about the president said this, he said that, he's doing this, he said he wasn't going to do that. Listen, I understand that. I said it yesterday. I'm going to say it again today. I have no problem with him. Yes, he changed his mind. I have no problem with the president changing his mind on this. Because when you stop and think about the massive amounts, the millions upon millions of dollars that have gone to these conservative super PACs, and to think that you're not going to have access to that kind of unfettered money, unencumbered money, more importantly, it's just not realistic to think that's true. And again, at least the president was upfront and honest about it. He's not trying to hide something. This wasn't some policy change that it was some backdoor thing that they did in the middle of the night. He made the announcement himself. All right? He made the announcement himself. So don't, you know, especially those of you that like to criticize me for defending the president, I'm not defending anything. I'm agreeing with it. And you're going to have a problem with it. I'm not going to change that anyway. Simple enough for me.
Can I ask a question about super PACs?
Sure you can.
I think I've asked you this before, but I'm not completely sure on the answer. When you donate, say I wanted to donate to the super PAC,
mm-hmm.
does all that money go just to the person who runs the PAC, and it has to, and then he decides what to do with it then?
Yeah, yeah.
They don't have to, I mean, they don't have like a set of guidelines or what. What I'm wondering is maybe they're collecting money and to help, you know, the president get reelected, and then when that happens, can they use the money to support other Democrats in elections?
Well, they can, you know, once they have the money, they can pretty much do with it what they want, but each PAC kind of has its own purpose, and so it's kind of has to be, you know, you're legally bound or even ethically bound to using something for its stated purpose. But there's never enough money. I mean, you're making the assumption that they would have money left over, and that's there's no such thing as money left over.
Okay, fair enough.
There's just not. I mean, if they raise $10, they'll spend 10. If they raise $60 million, they'll spend $60 million. That's the whole point of having a PAC, is that, A, you can raise as much money as you want without having to say where you got it from. B, it pretty much allows you to spend it any way you want with very few rules. And so that's really the benefit of the super PAC. Then a candidate has to play by very different rules than a PAC does. So, yeah, but there's no such thing really as leftover money. That's just not possible.
I thought Bill Burton made a good point about, you know, President Obama and Democrats and whoever, everyone that is against the campaign financing as it is now. You can be against it right now, but, you know, if you lose the election, you can't do anything to change it. So, I mean, you got to play by the rules as they are now and then work to change them after you win, I guess, is how he's looking at it.
Yes, that's exactly how he's looking at it. Hey, you know, listen, in a perfect world, Citizens United never would have came down, Jeff, the way it came down. You know, the Supreme Court wouldn't have handed, you know, corporations around the country this gift of citizenship. But they did. And in the process of doing that, saying that money is free speech, it opened up the floodgates of cash. Now, listen, there are people, the corporations and entities like the Koch brothers own that have a political agenda. Not every corporation has a political agenda, so let's be clear on that. But those that do, and there are many of them that do, because the way policy is handed out affects a business's bottom line, taxes, regulations, etc., policy. And so it does affect the way a business makes or doesn't make money. So, yeah, there's a reason why you're going to pay special attention to that. But by what the Supreme Court did and opening up the floodgates like this is again, it's uncharted territory. And so where we're headed with this is really anybody's guess. In a perfect world, this never would have happened, but it did happen. Can it be regulated? Absolutely. Can, you know, again, we talked to Common Cause here just the beginning of last week. You know, there are some corporate accountability, corporate accountability issues going on around the country. And certainly in the state of Michigan, there's a group that's putting together some corporate responsibility policy that they would like to see turn into law. Does that end the problem? No, but what it does is it makes you accountable. Transparency is important, but it doesn't end necessarily there because, you know, if you don't care that your name's out there, then you're not going to care if you're giving millions of dollars. And that's, at the end of the day, what this is all about. The conventional wisdom is if I have to say that I've given $10 million to a super PAC, that somehow that's going to make me look bad, or then people can point their fingers at me and it'll stop me from doing it. And the reality is, I don't think it will.
But why do they work so hard to cover up their names then?
Well, again, that's why, you know, some will, some won't. The reason they work so hard to keep their name, they want to claim that they're impartial, which of course is just a lie. It's just a lie. All right, let's take a quick break. More to get to on the other side, including the simple question, are the Republicans embarrassed of their candidates? And are their candidates doing anything to really help themselves? That's the big question. We'll ask it and answer it on the other side. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
The world is changing. So I don't know if really hardcore conservative Americans are wielding the influence that they once did.
On 1310
WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Recently on First Shift.
Let's welcome Will in Milford to the show. Will, thanks for punching in this morning. What's on your mind?
Hey, Tony, how you doing, man? I just wanted to let everybody know about your Facebook page and how great it is. I mean, you keep me abreast on stuff on the weekends and everything, and it's just a valuable page. If people haven't put a like on it yet, they need to, because there's a lot of good information. Keep everybody abreast.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have that peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy. We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back 10 minutes before the top of the hour. Guys, you're going to have to give me a caption winner before we're done here. I know that's going to be tough. We don't have a lot to choose from, but I do need a winner before we're done. So start looking them over. I asked the question before the break. Do the Republicans like each other? Do voters like the Republican candidates? And do enough of them like one of them to want him to be their nominee for the presidency in 2012? And I'm not saying that in a disingenuous or a snarky way, but when you take a look at what's happened to this point in the presidential campaign, you've had three winners. The guy that's actually won more states, Rick Santorum, has less money than the other two. Barely has enough money to get from state to state. And it just makes you wonder where the hell this is all headed. And, of course, Rick Santorum, anybody that knows anything about him knows how extremely right-wing this guy is. Never could make it through a general election. Just wouldn't happen. So what the hell's going on? Well, Mitt Romney, he, of all his millions of dollars, just figures that the best way to handle this is name-calling. And this is what he had to say about both Newt Gingrich and Rick Santorum.
I think a lot of us feel that the Republican Party lost its way in the past. We spent too much, borrowed too much, earmarked too much,
I'm talking about we in the general sense because these were folks in Washington. And frankly, Rick Santorum and Newt Gingrich were a big part of the we that spent too much, borrowed too much, and earmarked too much. Under Newt Gingrich, earmarks doubled. Rick Santorum was a major earmarker and continues to defend earmarks. Under Rick Santorum, he voted to raise the debt ceiling, I believe, five different times to a tune of about an additional $3.5 trillion. I believe that while Senator Santorum was serving in Congress and the Senate, government spending increased by some 80%. Republicans spent too much money, borrowed too much money, earmarked too much, and Rick Santorum and Newt Gingrich have to be held accountable.
And they do have to be held accountable, don't they? Again, I just don't think they like each other. Well, you know, Rick Santorum, not, I don't think he was like shooting back, but understanding, and I just read this morning, in 2011, Mitt Romney raised just over $50 million for his campaign. Rick Santorum, just over $2.2 million. This is what Rick Santorum had to say about this race.
I mean, this race has always been about Mitt Romney and his money beating up on whoever got in his way. Well, you know, what you saw here was when there was, in a sense, a fair fight, which is what's going to be like in the fall. He's not going to have a 5-to-1 advantage over Barack Obama going into the fall election. At best, it'll be a fair fight. And a fair fight, he can't win a fair fight. He got trumped in a fair fight.
He can't win. He got trumped. No Donald Trump reference there.
I thought there was a little bit.
Oh, man. Do you get the impression that they just haven't... I just feel like they haven't figured it out.
Who?
The Republicans.
Oh, definitely.
You know, I just don't think that they... they don't get it. They just don't get it. And I feel bad. I feel bad for, you know... passionate advocates. I mean, listen, there are people, you know, obviously there are people that are passionate about their politics on the right as I am on the left. And wow, if I had a lame group of candidates like this, I'd be really unhappy.
Well, voting among conservatives, I've heard, is way down compared to 2008.
Well, it is in some of the states. I guess actually the only state that it's up is South Carolina. And we understand why, based on what we can see early on. It's problematic when you are a conservative, because a lot of conservatives, Jeff, don't see Mitt Romney as being that. Certainly Rick Santorum is a conservative, but a lot of people just don't like his other extreme views and within the Republican Party. Newt Gingrich has a lot of baggage, so there are people that know of his baggage and just can't support him, even Republicans, because he just hasn't been a yeoman, if you will. So yeah, it becomes problematic. It becomes beyond problematic because they have to decide on a candidate here sooner or later. We got plenty of time to do it. Both Mitt Romney and Rick Santorum will be headed to Michigan in the next few weeks to campaign here. I don't know that Santorum is going to have much of a ground game, but he's going to give it his best shot. Newt Gingrich has all but given up on Michigan. He's not even coming. He's headed towards the Super Tuesday states, and that's where he will be doing campaigning from this point forward in Texas yesterday. But he can do well. If Gingrich is going to make a move, it's going to be during Super Tuesday in the southern states. If he doesn't do well there and doesn't win them, he's done. He's toast. I would be, Jeff, it would be shocking if it ended up being Santorum. And I know I'm not mentioning Ron Paul because Ron Paul's just not a game changer.
He only cares about delegates anyway.
Right. Yeah, as you've reminded me. But wouldn't it be ironic if it ended up being at the end of the day between Santorum and Romney? I think that we'd be shocked by that.
You think Romney still pulls it out, though?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, ultimately, he's going to be their nominee.
I'd be shocked if it ended up Santorum. I mean, think about that. Santorum as the nominee. That would be outstanding. It would be incredible. I couldn't imagine that at all.
But yeah, I can't either. I mean, if that were the case, then the president, Barack Obama, would win by a massive, I mean, indeed win by like 70 percentage points. In his own state, Rick Santorum lost his reelection bid by 17 points. That is a record. So it's just ridiculous. Have you guys picked a winner?
I do have a couple that I like.
But I need a winner.
I wonder, this is the question I have to pose, though. The person who submitted the question threw it out there and wanted other people to put submissions in, but he has a couple of good ones. Can he be the winner or no?
Well,
or,
he recused himself.
Right, that's why I'm thinking maybe.
He's a conservative, so I don't even know that he wants the stuff.
That's true as well. But he did have a couple of good ones. But that's true. So you know what? I actually do have a different one that I liked.
Yeah, are you ready to... You want to give it another day?
You want to? I mean, it's going to get buried down there.
Well, we can repost it.
With all the responses you can
no,
repost?
No, we can't repost it with all the responses. So I either need a decision right now or we go another day.
All right, let's go one more day. We'll do the rest of the weekend
all
wrap
right.
up.
Well, and again, the ones, people that have already responded, they will. And I'll remember to post it again in the morning so that it's at the top of the page. So we'll go.
And that's not to say that the ones that are posted are bad.
No, they could still win. Right, absolutely. Yes. No, they could absolutely win. So, all right, that's going to do it. We're out of time. I want to thank Anthony and Jeff for all their hard work. Certainly, you've been an amazing audience. All my guests, thank you so much. Off the air, if you need me, Tony at thetonyshow.org. And as always, I ask that you be well.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're still looking at some slowdowns out there on 75 southbound from around 9 Mile down to the Davison. And if we're westbound between Outer Drive and 75, you're going to find some delays there too. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast for the National Weather Service today, sunny, a high near 41. Tonight, mostly clear, a low in the mid-20s. And then tomorrow, snow showers move in, a high in the mid-30s. Right now, it's fair and 24 degrees at Detroit City Airport.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Identify.